LA and OC's alternative rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, Kevin and Bean Show, Monday morning. Music is the soundtrack to our lives, you guys.
Okay.
And I don't know what it is about the songs that are sad that makes us listen to them over and over and over again rather than run from them as fast as we can. You think that you would not intentionally want to put something so sad in your life? Mm-hmm. But we do. They become some of our favorite songs. And I was thinking about this on Friday, and I'm glad we have some time to have this conversation today, because Friday we had Ali's obsession, NoHo Hank, actor Anthony Carrigan, in the studio with us right at this time, remember?
Right.
And he was delightful.
He was so great.
And we're all excited. We've been counting down all week long to have him stop by, and we're really looking forward to the interview. And he sits down, and he's ready to go on the air, and he puts on his headphones. And Johnny Cash is singing Hurt.
That's right.
And we were like, wow, does this just take all the air out of the room? And that song is brutal. Even if you didn't see the video, which is one of the greatest music videos ever made, listen to a little bit of this. Think about what it does to your brain.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain.
I gotta find a sharp object or something here.
How about the fact that even he, when he put his headphones on, he goes, that's how you want to start a Friday?
Right, yeah, and it was Friday morning, too. But I don't know what it is. I mean, look, I adore that song.
Yeah.
I worship that song. It's a phenomenal piece of music. Yet it's so sad. Every single time I hear it, it makes me so sad. What is it that draws us to those songs?
I don't know. I remember even being just an emo kid and calling the coast to play like the saddest songs ever. And that's how I would fall asleep at night, listening to my little Walkman and the saddest songs. What the hell?
You're just crying your eyes out.
Yes.
So we thought it would be a fun experiment, especially on a Monday. This is the timing. This is how good we are with reading our audience's wishes, is that Friday morning at 8 a.m. is when we're giving you Johnny Cash Hurt. And now on a Monday, where what you really need is disco, we're giving you the most depressing songs of all time. That's the topic on the table on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, is 1-800-520-1067. When you hear it, you practically or literally cry. What's the saddest, most depressing song you know and love at 1-800-520-1067? Allie, why don't you get us started?
Well, this happened not once, but twice at a very public location. The first time, a Ralph's. The second time, you pull up to put the gas in your car. You hear on the overhead speaker a song start. This song starts, and I am weeping like a baby. It is Mike and the Mechanics' Living Years.
It's too late, it's too late, when we die, oh, when we die, we don't see eye to eye.
Now, refresh my memory. Whoa. This is a guy
and his dad.
And his father, right? Yeah.
I wasn't there that morning when my father passed away. I didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. It will wreck you in the middle of a Ralph's and you just want to buy Pop-Tarts and then you're thinking of your dad and all the things you want to say and you can't. Oh, holy crap.
But your dad is still alive and you have a great relationship. Like, this isn't your story at all.
I know. That's what makes it so psycho.
And every time you hear it, same deal.
I'm tearing up right now. It is just one of those songs that gets you in the gut. Just gets you.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. What's your version of The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics? What that does to Allie, that does to you. Here's mine. And I guess I don't have any personal connection with this story. I've not been through the experience that this person goes through in the song, but this was a real life story that Ben Folds from about 20 years ago wrote in his hit song Brick. He had gone through the unfortunate reality of having a high school girlfriend that he got pregnant. And the day after Christmas, they find themselves in an abortion clinic. It's already the most depressing premise for a song because nothing says the happy holidays like an abortion, right? So there he is taking his girlfriend, and they were soon to break up afterwards, as so many couples do, unfortunately. But, I mean, to play this out in pop music, I still can't believe this song became a big hit. But it just crushes me. Let's hear a little Ben Folds.
I'm feeling more alone than I ever have before. She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly off the coast and I'm headed nowhere.
She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly. I mean, that line alone is enough to put me down.
Bean, I have a way for you to get over it.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I don't know if you remember when we had Lauren Lapkus in. She's on Crashing. She's Pete's ex-wife on the show.
Sure, sure.
But she did a show on Netflix called Netflix Presents the Characters. And one of the skits that she did was her as a stripper. And that was her stripping song. And it is the funniest thing you've ever seen because you're watching her strip to the song and you're like, this is the worst song to strip to. And now it's all I think when I hear that song.
So that's a way to turn it into a happy memory.
Turned it into laughter.
But just the details in that song about how they call her name at 7:30 in the morning and he's out in the parking lot and he buys flowers they're never able to talk again. I mean, it's just crushing. All right, let's take a couple of calls. 1-800-520-1067. What sad song, depressing song do you somehow still love? Why don't we start with, let's give me some line two, please. This is Soraya in Northridge. Soraya, thank you so much for listening to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on, my dear?
It's Soraya, long time, first time. I love you guys so much.
So you finally call after all this time you've been listening to us, and then I screw up your name. Now I feel like an a-hole.
It's okay.
All right. Soraya, what can we do for you today?
So mine, I think, would be Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
Like that song just, like, sucks the air out of your lungs. I remember hearing it when I was a kid and just crying. And I didn't even know what it was. It was like five.
If you haven't heard it, we have a little bit of it. You ready?
Unbreak my heart. Say you love me again.
And so interesting to me, Soraya, because I thought you were going to say that's the song that was out when I broke up with the love of my life, but you were a little kid, so like you weren't relating to the lyric at all.
Little kid, like just hearing it on the radio, and I was like, this is so sad.
You know what's really funny, Soraya? I'm sorry that Kevin is out today because he tells a story, and I think it still gets him. Allie, you've heard it, say it before, that he was at camp and he had a girlfriend named Beth who broke up with him, and it was right when Beth by Kiss was out. And it just killed him. Like, to this day, he can't even see the word kiss without sobbing. All right, Soraya, glad you finally called in. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you listening. 1-800-520-1067. What's your sad song, your depressing song? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. See, you want digital radio. You want HD so that you can be bawling your eyes out while you're driving down the street listening to the saddest songs of all time. That's what we're talking about today here on K-Rock. George in Downey, real quick, line 7 ahead of 21 Pilots. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? My song of guest choice is Mad World.
Oof.
Tell me about Mad World. Why does that slay you?
It's because for a long time, I was a victim of my own demise, and I guess it went to the point where I went to, like, a mental institution and everything, and that song used to always just get me, and it even gets me more now because of the situations that I went through, you know, growing up as a child and actually growing up as an adult and forming who I am now today.
Wow. So, music can be so powerful. Let's see if we can spin you out. Let's play a little bit of it, shall we?
I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
Great choice, George. I bet a lot of people feel the same way about that song. So awesome. All right, more calls coming up next right after this on K-Rock. We could have played a really, really sad song there, but I think that would have been pouring it on too heavy.
Yeah, you think?
You know what I mean? Let's pep it up a little bit in the middle. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It occurred to us on Friday when we were listening to Johnny Cash sing Hurt that there's something about those sad, sad songs. Allie, we're getting a lot of reaction on social media on this. What are you seeing?
Leading the pack, Coldplay, Fix You. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
So many people. But right behind that, so many people sang Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton, which, my God, singing about your dead kid.
Yeah, the subject matter alone, and that goes way beyond even just like a bad breakup or something like that. And Fix You, I wonder, I mean, Fix You is, obviously it's an emotional story about a relationship, mm-hmm. but remember that that video too of all the real, real old people singing it?
Yeah.
Remember that? I wonder if that has anything to do with it too. All right, let's get back to the calls, get through as many as we can at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with line two, please? This is going to be Alex. She is in Covina. Alex, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to let you know real quick, we are such big fans. My family and I talk about you like you guys are our friends.
That's so sweet. thank you.
You know, we say, hey, did you hear what Bean said? Oh, yeah, Allie had a really good point that one time.
Trust me, it was one time.
We know you
yeah. Well, that is awesome. I appreciate it. So how do you feel about our decision on a Monday morning when people really don't need this to talk about the most depressing songs of all time?
First of all, best idea ever, because that's just the way to start off a Monday morning.
All righty. Okay. All right, what do you got? What's your song?
I'm going to say Dance With My Father by
Luther
Vandross.
Oh, good Lord.
Yep. Yeah.
So, try right now.
Let's hear a little bit of that, shall we?
How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again.
Now, what's the deal? Refresh my memory, ladies.
His father died, and all he wanted to do was dance with his dad. And Alex, I don't know about you, if you have ever been to a wedding where the bride's father has passed, so she has an uncle. I'm going to start crying right now.
And my dad's alive and kicking and just fine. And I'm telling you, every time I hear it on any radio station, any place, I will bawl like a baby.
Alex, well, you get me. You get me.
Well, don't listen this weekend at K-Rock. We're doing our Luther Vandross weekend, so you definitely want to skip that. Thank you for listening, my dear. We really appreciate it. Let's move on. Let's go down to line three. This is going to be Cherry Valley's Lori, who joins us up next on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hey, Lori, what's going on?
Hold on.
Yeah, what just happened?
Oh.
What'd you do, Chip?
Oh. Well, her song, I think a lot of people have as well. It's Linkin Park, right?
Yeah, line two is sticking, so I tried to click over.
Yeah, listen, you'll know why when you hear what song. It's One More Light. Listen up. Do we not have that either?
We do.
Who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do.
Look, that song was already sad enough before what happened, but now it's almost impossible to listen to. All right. Thank you for that. I'm sorry we couldn't get you on the air, Lori. Let's go to Anna, line four up next, calling from Riverside here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hey, Anna, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. So my song is Fade Into You by Mazzy Star.
Let's hear some of that. I mean, I love that song, but I'm going to be honest. I'm one of those dudes, I guess, who hasn't paid attention to the lyrics. What's going on in that that's so sad?
The lyrics are, I don't know, they just feel very visceral, and it's something about her voice, honestly. It's gotten me through heartbreak and loss.
That's got a mood to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Great suggestion. Thank you so much. Let's squeeze in just a couple of more. Let's go to Westminster. This is going to be JD up next, line five on the Kevin DeBeat Show. JD, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you
What's
doing,
happening?
Guys?
What's going on?
Well, I'm pretty depressed now, thanks to all of you. Jeez. Aww.
You're welcome on a Monday.
What song hits your sweet spot?
Well, I always tell everybody that the depressing, want to kill yourself kind of music is the best music ever. I got one for you. Something I Could Never Have by Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, man. Let's hear some of that. I mean, look, every song that Trent Reznor sings is gut-wrenching and emotional. Is there something in particular about those lyrics that just gets you?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, this song is about losing the love of your life. I mean, and just like he wants it back so bad. So, I mean, who on this planet doesn't want something they can never have?
Yeah,
you know, that's got to strike a chord with everybody.
I don't know how much longer I can go on today, Allie. This segment is killing me. All right, sir. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, JD. Let's do one more. Let's make it Emily. She's on line 8, please. Pasadena. Emily, we're going to give you the final word. What's the saddest song you love?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Sorry, really quick before I say it, I just wanted to say I'm one of the people that won your Coachella tickets, and we had so much fun. So thank you. It was so awesome.
That's
Hi.
Great.
Thanks, Kara.
Yeah, thanks.
So my boyfriend and I have seen Blink-182 three times, and we're seeing them for a fourth time at Weenie Roast, and we're so excited. But the first time we saw them, they haven't played it since, but they played this song, and my boyfriend looked over at me, and I was literally sobbing. It's Stay Together for the Kids. It's so sad.
Let's hear some of that. Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's just right there in those few words, stay together for the kids. You just see what a sacrifice it is and how much unhappiness there is in a situation like that. And you just go, man, it sounds like a prison sentence, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's so sad.
Well, have a great time at the Weenie Roast. If you see us, definitely
Thank
come up and
you.
Say hi. And thanks so much Yay. For listening. Okay, bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Okay. All right. So, Jonas Suomoto.
No.
Nope.
Jonas
nope.
Suomoto.
Suotamo.
Jonas Suotamo.
Suotamo.
Yes.
Suotamo.
But don't worry, guys. Okay. No one in America can say it.
Okay, so just Jonas is good?
Yes, Jonas is great. Yeah.
Okay, good. We're going to need you to change that last name, Jonas. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, you saw him, you sort of saw him in Star Wars The Force Awakens as Chewbacca. You saw him as Star Wars The Last Jedi as Chewbacca. And you'll see him again as Chewbacca in the Solo A Star Wars Story on May 25th. Jonas S. is here on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. How are you, Jonas? Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. I almost don't know where to begin because we have so many questions. Obviously, like everybody else in the world, we're crazy Star Wars fans. We can't wait to see this new film. I guess I want to start with, how does one even audition to be Chewbacca? It seems like that would be a very difficult role for somebody to get a feel for how good you're going to be playing that character.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's kind of a surprising story because the only thing I did was play basketball for 20 years. And
how tall are you?
I'm 7 feet.
7 feet tall.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So who knew? How did you get contacted? How did this whole thing happen?
Well, they were pretty desperate to find someone to come help out Peter Mayhew.
Yeah.
He had to get his knee rebuilt, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And Force Awakens, they were casting all over the world. Couldn't find it. I even saw a Facebook ad for the role.
Really?
And didn't do anything about it. Thought I was too short.
Well done.
Because they were looking for 7'3".
You thought you were too short.
Yeah. So 4 months pass, and they call me from the Finnish Basketball Association. Hey, Jonas, we saw that we've known you for a long time for playing in the youth national team. You seem like a fun guy. They are casting. They're looking for this 7-footer with blue eyes. The requirements had come down at that point. Are you interested? It's a big budget Hollywood film. We don't know which one. Yeah, they hadn't been told, so it was basically just they were, being messengers.
Now, was somebody in the Finnish national basketball team being contacted by somebody from Star Wars?
Yes, yes. Nina Gold's casting agency had contacted the
older. About you?
Anyone. Any blue eyed, because they were looking for Scandinavians, because mm-hmm. we have a higher probability for blue eyes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they contacted the Volleyball Association of Sweden and the Mini Golf Association of Norway.
I'm sorry.
No.
Jonas, had you done any acting, or was that not even required for this role?
I think the expectations were pretty low for to find a 7-footer with blue eyes and also the ability to act. Thankfully, I had done high school plays. I'd always wanted to be an actor. But I was discouraged from pursuing that in college because I walked into the I played college Penn State basketball. I played basketball.
If you're 7 feet,
not a lot of roles.
You get forced into playing basketball,
exactly.
Whether you like it or not.
Exactly. But nowadays, I just say, aha, I told you so.
You showed them. Here's my thing, though. I've got to think, okay, you're excellent at basketball. You've done that. Now you're Chewbacca. Like, what about all those other, like, 7-foot dudes that aren't good at basketball? You basically stole their role. You had basketball. Why are you a dick?
Why are you coming at him like that?
Yeah, it feels. I feel
attacked.
I feel attacked.
It's aggressive. It's aggressive.
It's a little aggressive.
So Jonas, so once you're in touch with the Star Wars folks, then they fly you somewhere for an audition in the costume, I imagine.
They just send me to London a couple of times first to measure me up, see if all the dimensions match.
At that point, did you know what movie?
When I walked in, they were building. They had a Darth Vader poster and a Chewbacca head on the table.
Oh. It worked out.
So I was pretty excited about that. And my fear levels tenfold
skyrocketed.
Tell
us about your. Did you love Star Wars? I assume.
I've always loved Star Wars. It was my favorite. One of my favorite movies was Star Wars, Indiana Jones, all that stuff. My dad showed it on VHS tapes.
So you had to think, this is insane. I'm actually might be in a Star Wars movie.
Exactly. Yeah. So eventually.
What do they have you do for the audition? Once they've measured you for the suit and you're in it, then you do some sort of screen test, I imagine, with other actors, right?
I played a caveman who gets shot in the knee with an arrow. And I was teaching high school gymnastics for girls at my old high school. So I was at a lowest of the low in my life.
Wow.
And, I'm just kidding.
Wait a minute.
No, it was fun times. One day I stayed behind after classes and filmed my audition tape, which somebody's going to show someday.
At some point it'll come
out. Right? Yeah.
I don't know, but I stripped down to my shorts and just played this caveman who gets attacked by this invisible alien.
Yeah, we're going to need to see that.
Exactly.
Immediately.
So that's basically it.
Jonas Osuotimo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, Chewbacca in Solo, A Star Wars Story, in theaters everywhere Friday, May 25th. So the famous trailer that we see for A Force Awakens, Chewie, we're home. That's you.
Let's talk about Solo.
Him and Peter were sharing in Force Awakens.
So we don't know. Okay.
So yeah, we tend to not discuss the who played what.
Let's talk about Solo, because this is you, Solo. This
exactly.
is you, and it's young Chewie, and we get to see the relationship with you and Han and how beautiful and how it began.
Exactly.
I'm going to cry right now.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
All right, we need to take a break, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Jonas S. is here, and we'll take a break. When we come back, I want you to tell us about Chewbacca Camp.
I will.
With Peter Mayhew, because that sounds fantastic. Jonas Suotamo.
What is Suotamo?
Perfect.
He said perfect for all four.
He said perfect. Just stop saying it, and let's move on.
He is an actor in a little film called Solo, A Star Wars Story, in theaters everywhere on Friday, May 25th. Oh, the character he plays is called Chewbacca, ladies and gentlemen. Only Chewbacca. Now you don't make the sounds of Chewbacca, do you, Jonas?
So no.
That's a yes. I try to make the sound just to show off, basically, and they do their best to delete all my sounds and replace it with bear sounds.
How did they make that sound?
I think it's just that they starve a bear for a couple of days and then record its voices. I think it's they find these bears and the Skywalker sound team go and do their magic.
Wow, that's crazy!
But on the
set, though, when you're having a conversation with Han Solo, though, do you just say nothing, or do you say something as a placeholder that they then remove?
Well, it's basically Wookiee English. I say the lines in this movie because Chewbacca has quite a few lines. They wrote all the dialogue in the script.
Oh,
so I say, I'm hungry.
I know there's a lot you can't say, and of course that's fine because we're going to just be blown away when we see it in the theaters. But let's talk about some of the actors in this movie, and you tell me your impressions of them. How about Alden Ehrenreich as Han Solo? What do you think?
He's the library for movie trivia. He knows every movie detail.
Is that right?
Never was.
Is he a big movie quoter?
He's a big movie trivia guy, and a big history. He reads all these books about the old their directors and great movies.
Is that right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
By the way, let's talk about pressure. I mean, you had enough pressure following the great Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca. Imagine what it's like for Alden to go in the footsteps of Harrison freaking Ford. Right?
That was one of the things that we were talking about the most, and we shared like the when I saw him coming through the door dressed in Han Solo gear, I was like, wow, you're Han Solo. And when he saw me do a scene or something, he was like, wow, you're really good at that.
That's so funny. All of you are thinking pretty much the same thing.
It was pretty, it was pretty, how should I say, self-indulgent, but it was also like genuine amazement.
Of course.
That's
of course.
Cool. Yeah.
Tell us, when you got the gig, you had what you called Chewbacca camp with Peter Mayhew.
Oh, yeah.
Explain what that is.
I mean, that was a week of... It was like basically being at college and scouting for the opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I was watching the tapes of Peter playing, because his family was very helpful, and they prepared these clips of the old movie, and we watched. And
were breaking down tape.
We were breaking down and analyzing Chewbacca's step back and putbacks and everything.
So he was teaching you like how to turn your head and look and all the Chewbacca moves.
Exactly, starting from the posture and the arms, how they move, how relaxed and how heavy they are, and
now,
how to portray that.
Do you portray it any different because you're playing Chewbacca so much younger?
Now, there are scenes that I was thinking about that in this film. Mm-hmm. And
do you have a massive fight scene with anyone?
Perhaps. And definitely that was a thing that I thought about, that Chewbacca is... I've always wondered, because they always talk about the mighty Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm.
Jabba and everyone in the original trilogy talks about it. So I wanted to, this movie was very, I kept that in mind.
Right.
But I have yet to see the movie, so I don't know how well I did.
You haven't seen it yet.
No.
Tonight,
wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen, they made a Millennium Falcon on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh.
You guys, everything's so good right now.
and Jonas, you also had to be comfortable with being the first officer of the Millennium Falcon. Either you had to do all the flying, a lot of the flying stuff and assistance, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right.
And was that tough for you to keep all that straight? All those, you know, bells and whistles and knobs and levers and pulleys.
I mean, it's always it's a joy flying the Millennium Falcon. And I have to say,
I was going to say, you guys know he's not really flying.
Well, yes, he is.
Okay, sorry.
Actually, I might say the technology has improved so much from Force Awakens, and now we're flying. We have this curved screen, like a projecting movie theater before us, and we can and the Falcon rig moves.
Oh. Oh, that's
so
pretty sweet.
It's really close to flying, and I think it's going to make this movie feel a lot more, you know, a lot more visceral.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll
nice.
Be like the Star Tours ride, right?
I think so, yeah.
Only much better.
All right, a couple other people I want to ask you about, because, again, you're the first contact we've had from the set of the film. Donald Glover, one of America's most fascinating people right now. Did you get to spend much time with Lando Calrissian?
I was just so starstruck every day.
Yeah.
Every day. But he was awesome. He was also stepping into the shoes of this very smooth, cool guy, Lando Calrissian, and he did it so well. And once again, in his own terms, same as me and Alden are trying to do.
Mm-hmm. That was perfect casting, Donald Glover as Lando, wasn't it?
I agree.
Perfect. Amazing. All right.
The trailer, when he says, everything you've heard about me is true. He's so smooth and good.
All right. One more I have to ask about, Jonas, and that is, we had the pleasure of having him on the show last year, and we're still starstruck by Ron Howard, and you got to work with Ron Howard. Tell me about him as a director.
He is he's the most likable, the most professional, the kind of guy you want to have helming your ship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful to be able to say you've worked with Ron Howard, because you just his movies, like Beautiful Mind, was one of my favorites when I was growing up, and he just brought the you know the the big emotions and the guidance to the set.
You can tell when a guy has a lot of depth because he's done so many different types of movies, and he's just one of those guys that just seems like he gets it on so many different levels.
Exactly. And he could say let me just say this, like he would it's hard when you're from making short films myself. It's very hard to say to yourself, oh, I've got this take now. But Ron was able to do that. He knew exactly what he wanted, and mm-hmm. he had a very clear picture in his mind because we were moving so fast.
And, yeah. So as soon as you guys nailed it, he was like, that's it.
Exactly. Wow. And yeah.
That's beautiful. How has your light, and of course it's going to get a lot different in the weeks and months and years to come, but so far, how has your life changed being part of the Star Wars universe?
It's been a very gradual thing because Force Awakens, I was kind of on the backstage, and Last Jedi, Chewie was there, but in a very different role, mm-hmm. and with the Porgs, of course. But now, I mean, it's constantly evolving, and people recognize me more and more. But so far, I've been able to walk Disney World without anyone really noticing.
Just
and,
wait.
Yeah.
Wait until the 25th.
I kind of love that. I kind of love the fact that I can just walk the streets and not everybody, you know, only those who have gone and Googled me mm-hmm. or something right. will recognize me.
Tell me,
I love that.
Tell me and you went back to high school or college at some point and everybody's sharing what they're doing now and you're just like, you know.
Star it's a great Wars. Reunion story.
yeah, I mean, it's I'm loving that. The Finnish people are very proud of, yeah, because we're proud of our saunas and we're proud of our hockey team, even though we
you
just
led lost, with saunas. You said saunas before hockey.
Yeah, we
unacceptable.
Well, we just lost to Denmark yesterday, oh, yeah, so I gotta bring in the saunas and everything. But I think it's just so great of being. Playing this character and being able to, you know, bring that to the Finnish people that now if our hockey team loses, you know, at least they have saunas and Chewbacca.
So. Put Chewbacca in front of the saunas, for God's sake.
I mean, do it.
We could not be more excited for this movie, Yotus. And Solo, A Star Wars Story is in theaters everywhere on Friday, May 25th. Obviously, everybody knows that. Everybody's already bought their tickets in advance. It's like the biggest ticket presale in movie history already. So it's going to be such a summer for you, man. And we're so delighted to have had the opportunity to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in today. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for having me.
That dude was Chewbacca. And has anyone been nicer?
How likable was he?
Right?
Yeah, he's delightful. He's Jonas Winnemo, you guys.
Sure, well done.
I just want to make sure we got the pronunciation right. After he was gone, we finally learned how to say his name.
As he left, he said, bye, camera boy. So we had David Wayne in yesterday, mm-hmm. and he was talking about his movie, A Feudal and... What was it called? A Feudal and...
Stupid Gesture.
Stupid Gesture. That comes out next Friday on Netflix. And he's also a magician. And I scoffed at the idea of him being a magician because magicians are stupid.
They're the best.
Right. So after the interview, he stands up and he walks over to Allie's computer. And he said, Allie, pull up my website, but don't scroll down. And Allie said, all right. So she pulled up his website.
DavidWayne.com.
Mm-hmm. And he says to Allie, he doesn't have any cards in his hand. He's just holding his phone, but I was watching his phone. And he wasn't doing anything with mm-hmm. it. He says to Allie, pick a card out of a deck. Any card, it doesn't matter. And you thought?
I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to pick, you know, the Queen of Hearts or the Ace of Spades, like cards that you normally think of. So I said, Seven of Clubs, obviously.
Then he said, now scroll down on my page. And and I'm telling you, it was 5 seconds from the time
tops.
She. Yeah. She scrolls down, and there's a deck of cards on his website that's still there, and on top of that deck of cards is the Seven of Clubs.
Oh, sorcery.
Now, how did that happen?
I believe we call that magic, Kevin.
I think magic is the only explanation. I think there's no other way that could have happened.
Because, well, here's the thing.
Magic is real because I saw it yesterday with my own eyes, Kevin. Look. He didn't have a deck of cards.
Right.
He didn't palm a card.
Right.
He didn't force a card.
He didn't do anything that we noticed physically. And yeah. I did see him with his phone in his hand. I was watching his mm-hmm. hand with the phone. And he didn't type in anything. Nothing happened.
And even Oh, you're saying because as if he could have added
yes.
a command to his website
yes.
that would have then showed up. You're right.
What
he didn't do anything like that.
What about voice recognition? What about a Siri or the website has some kind of...
The computer that Ali's using is not hooked up for voice recognition.
No, but
you don't use voice recognition on your computer, right, Ali?
No.
No, but his site. Don't you think his site could? Or could he tie his phone with voice recognition
to
his
website?
Why
are we just leaving out the total obvious?
Which is?
That David Wayne and I connected on a level that a lot of people usually don't.
You can have that.
And I don't know why he doesn't follow me on Twitter. It's fine. It's cool. But I think that's what we're going with.
But my
let's stop for a second.
Yeah.
What about Kevin's theory? Is there such a thing where a person could be holding a phone and not have any screens open and just say something into the air and have it go in and change something on his website? I say no. I say that technology doesn't even exist.
But here's further proof further proof on my side that it's fake is that when he left,
mm-hmm.
we thought, let's try it again.
Like somehow we could do it with our voice on my computer.
So he left and we tried it again and it didn't work. So mm-hmm. him being here
mm-hmm.
had to have something to do with it.
Because
he's the magician.
Because of our connection. Yeah.
No, Ali. He's a warlock.
Yeah,
that's
he
why.
Is. That's what I'm
warlock.
Saying.
He's a magician, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's magic.
Yeah.
Right, but it wasn't really.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Muggs is in here now. Muggs, you weren't in the room with us yesterday, but you heard us from the other room explaining what David Wayne did.
You heard us screaming.
You guys are trying to complicate this, too.
Okay.
I mean, it was an amazing trick.
Sure.
And you want to find out the answer.
I don't. I just want to leave it up to – it was magic.
By the way, when Muggs walked in, he goes, I know exactly what happened 100%.
Well, you guys are scratching the surface. It only happened when he was in the room.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And technology today is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's simple.
Right?
It was voice activated. It was in his phone.
Okay.
The minute you said your card,
uh-huh.
and Kevin said he was looking at his phone the whole, he's watching him use his phone. No, Kevin, he probably, great magicians.
A little sleight of hand.
Little sleight of hand.
I'm aware of that, and I was watching for it because I don't believe in magic.
I
watched his hand with his phone. Yes.
The whole time?
Yes. It wasn't more than 15 seconds.
There was no setup or anything. We were literally taking pictures, and then he came over and he's like, Allie, pull up davidwayne.com. So I did. It's not like he set this up and he's like, well, let me blow their minds. It was like instantaneous.
Yeah, that's how he got you. It was a sneak attack of magic.
Okay, thanks, Muggs. So is it possible to have like voice recognition on your phone that changes your website? Because then I was thinking last night, it's not like we did it on the air. If we did it on the air, anyone could have been listening and just typed it in or whatever. But we didn't do it on the air.
It was off the air. And by the way, that voice recognition, I mean, it wasn't as simple as just putting a word on a screen. It's bringing up a photograph of the Seven of Clubs.
Yeah, and it was my voice.
On top of a
voice.
Photograph of a deck of cards. Yes.
Why would it be my voice that now, unless he's, again, that connection, he's been listening to me. And
I mean, I feel like you're really pushing that hard, and I don't feel like that happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't – I'm very confused, concerned. Impressed, terrified. I'm many things about this David Wayne.
Are we scared now of David Wayne?
I loved it so. You know me. I love magic. And the fact that it made Kevin for a minute go, all right, magic is pretty cool. I was like, this is the best ever.
But then I bailed on that idea.
You were
I was
out.
Like, there's got to be a way that he did it, obviously. There's got to be a way.
See, I'm one of those people. I don't want to know how it works.
Okay,
I just want to love it.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You just want to love it and you want to believe it's magic.
Uh-huh.
Someplace in your mind, though,
mm-hmm.
you know that there was a way he did it. You just don't want to know what it was.
No, I believe he's got a gift.
You don't believe that. You logically.
Logically, I know.
It wasn't magic.
Right.
Okay, but you want to believe. Okay.
Sure.
I don't, and I'm saying, how did he do it?
Yeah.
Because that was an impressive trick.
It sure was.
So if you can help us, 1-800-520-1067, and tell us how, is that a thing? Is voice recognition a thing that can change your website?
With a picture?
With a picture of the car.
In 5 seconds?
In 5 seconds? How else could he have done it other than voice recognition?
Yeah.
I mean, look, there are a lot smarter people than us listening to this show. I'm sure somebody will have an answer for us.
Or is it magic?
I mean, it's still up there. It's still the seven of clubs on a site. And it's not like it was any sort of like he got me to say seven of clubs by leading the witness
right,
in
you,
any way.
You did the opposite. You tried to guess just a nonsense card in the middle of the deck for that reason. But he was unable to do that. But then he left and it didn't work.
And it hurt.
So there has to be some way that while he's here, he can change it. Right? On his phone? He didn't have time. I was watching his phone again. He wasn't typing in a seven of clubs or anything.
So that's the only thing that would lead me to believe it's voice activated.
Right.
But I don't remember him repeating the card.
We got to take a break.
We have to take a break?
We do.
Yeah, let's bring it into what's happening.
What?
Look at the clock.
Yeah.
We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Oh, maybe he's just a warlock. You know?
You coming around?
Yeah.
It was magic.
It's magic.
All right. Real quick, Allie, for folks who weren't listening in last segment, describe the trick that David Wayne did for us yesterday, the very accomplished TV writer-director.
So let me first say, you guys were taking pictures, blah, 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 and then he said something about being a magician. And I said, oh, do you know? And I named a friend. That was it. And then he goes, hey, go to my website. So I go to his website.
So it's not like we were talking about it during the interview or anything.
Not
at all.
It was
just a throwaway at the end.
No.
Okay.
So he goes, go to my website. So davidwayne.com. And he goes, tell me a card. Any card in a deck. And I thought to myself, well, don't pick the known ones like Queen of Hearts, blah, blah, blah. So I said, seven of clubs. And he goes, scroll down. I scroll down. There's a deck of cards. Top card, seven of clubs. No sense was made. We were looking at him. He was not on his phone dialing anything, and there's no way that there was someone on the phone listening because we literally, it was such a throwaway.
Yeah.
How?
All right. We got a bunch of calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with the most reasonable explanation, and that's Bridget in Van Nuys. She's on line five to get us going.
Hey, Bridget.
Hey, what to do, nephew?
So, what do you think? David Wayne.
Yeah, well, you guys all know the theory that all magic is just science that we don't understand yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, Allie, I'm really sorry to break it to you. This isn't magic. David Wayne, most obviously, is a visitor from the future.
Bridget,
okay.
I'm with you on that. I
believe
it.
So he came back in time to change it after he knew what her guess was going to be.
No, that's silly.
My bad.
Technology...
My bad, you go.
He brought the technology back from the future, Kevin.
Listen,
come on.
To her. Hear her out.
Bridget knows what she's talking about. All right, thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate it.
She's the best.
Just because you discounted it, but let's hear Chris's explanation in Fullerton. He's on line eight. You said there was no way he had an assistant on the phone, an accomplice working on the other end of his website.
There's
right,
no
Allie?
Way.
Why do you think that that's what happened, Chris?
He's a professional. That was a sleight of hand. He had a guy. He's listening to the entire interview. He is sitting there waiting to update the website as soon as he heard what it was.
But David Wayne didn't have any reason to suspect that magic would ever come up or that he would need to do a trick for us.
Yeah, we never talked about it during the interview at all.
Even between segments, we didn't talk to him about
it. Yeah, but he was planning on bringing that up.
So somehow he would have worked it in and he had somebody else on the phone and they heard it. But I'm telling you that the... And I'll tell you, it was 4 or 5 seconds from the time she said it till the time we saw
Chris,
it.
Chris, hold on to your head. Hold on to your head right now. I never refreshed the page or anything. So I brought up his website, said seven of clubs, and scrolled down. I would have had to refresh the page for that to have worked.
Boom.
If they had
JavaScript to update it, though, to automatically refresh it.
Oh, listen, you're talking all computer crap, and I don't know what any of it means.
It does make sense. Like, he could have done that.
Chris, is
come on,
it
Allie,
so,
JavaScript. Get
is
with it.
It so far,
was that was his sleight of hand.
Is it so far off base to think that maybe David Wayne and I had a connection? And
you
he,
want that to be true so badly.
He read
all right,
my
thank
mind.
You, Chris. We appreciate
the
call.
We feel each other on a level that
go
other
to line
people
one.
Don't.
Give me some Stephanie in Santa Monica. I think she's got a unique perspective on
all right.
this. Hey, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, two things. One, my father used to always say there are magicians who do tricks and there are magicians who do magic.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So this, to me, is a trick.
A trick?
My understanding of how all this works is there are magicians who are actually, as you said, Allie, they're reading your mind. They're mental telepathists.
Yeah.
You think you are thinking of a brand new number. But they are actually putting the number in your head.
So you think David Wayne, standing next to Allie, suggested to her through his mind to pick the seven of clubs, which was already on his site.
Yes. Have you gone back to the site? Is that number still there?
It's still there. It's still there. The same card,
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
So when he came in to do the interview yesterday, his website, davidwayne.com, already had a seven of clubs
seven
on.
Seven of clubs up there, yes.
And he put that in Allie's brain.
The only thing that I will
say... I mean, I'd let him put it in me again if we want to test this.
Magic shows all the time when people are blown away by, well, how did he know that? That's because he gave you the number. He gave you
He didn't, though. He didn't in 5 seconds get Allie to think of the seven of clubs.
It's very possible that you're straight crazy, Stephanie.
I like her.
In a second, they can make you think blue. And then you go, oh, blue, and you think it's a new thought.
Wow.
And it's not. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I'm into it. That's all I'm saying.
You have given us much to think about, Stephanie. We appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right, good times.
Are we more confused now than when we started?
I love it. I love that we have no idea how it worked because that's the beauty of magic. Just let it be.
And that's what's happening?
That's what's happening.
Just an update on the website thing.
Yeah.
People are saying that there's a way to check what his website said a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Internet Archive, right.
And it was the seven of clubs.
Talking about davidwayne.com, seven of clubs, the same card that Allie pulled out of her head, she thought yesterday voluntarily, that showed up on his website.
On 12/31, as well as January 8th.
How did he get you to say the seven of clubs?
He put it in my head.
How did he do it? Stephanie was not crazy. It was mental telepathy.
I'm sorry, Stephanie. I apologize. You were right. I was wrong.
David Wayne's
I want to say something else.
Yeah.
His friend Rob Corddry was supposed to be on the phone right now to promote his charity event coming up. He's gone. David Wayne made him disappear.
He killed Rob Corddry.
I don't know he killed him.
Yes, I thought that's what you were saying.
So
being
saying that he made him disappear,
made him disappear like
right
magicians do.
Like a magic thing.
Yes.
Oh, got it.
Yes.
Okay.
It's getting very perplexing in here. It is Wednesday morning. That means the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voice is coming up next hour here on K-Rock. And we're going to get an update on how Allie is doing with her hot dentist. Because as I understand, you're going back there today.
It's kind of a date. So
is it a date?
Yeah.
It might be time to close that deal, Allie.
Yeah.
We'll find out first, though. Hey, could I get a little of that echo? Kevin, do you have that button? You can give me a little echo.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... Ready? Is it time?
I had it on.
I know, but I didn't know. I didn't want to say it if you weren't ready.
But
okay,
I had it on.
Okay, turn it off and then pause. Okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kevin's Peeps. No, you didn't have it on now that time.
Oh, I didn't realize you wanted it then. Okay, try it again.
This one more gets old.
Just one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... No, not yet.
Okay,
you wait till the pause.
Sorry,
and then
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kevin's Peeps.
Better known as, what the hell is this guy talking about? He called the Afro line, I don't know, 20 times?
Oh. He had a lot on his mind.
Over time, though, 20 times.
I mean, it was all pretty much at one time.
Oh.
So, over the course of a year, though.
No. I'm saying, like, in a day. So he would call, and then it would cut him off, and then he would call back and continue. He has a lot to say.
Okay. How much time do you get per call before it cuts you off,
I think? I think you get 3 minutes. Yeah. I edited this down so that we could at least handle it. It's about a minute per call, and there's three of them.
Okay.
I didn't change the content, did he? I just edited it for shortness. But this is one dude, and tell me what the hell he's talking about.
Oh, hello.
By the way, I like that. Oh, I didn't realize you were there. Hello. Hey, there's someone here to talk to.
Oh, hello. Sometimes buffoons that you come in contact with can have power over you. There's a thing in L.A., they're hipster doofuses.
Tell me when you want to stop and comment.
Hipster doofuses, they're buffoons. This might be a little tangential, a little bit convoluted, but I think I have a very good point. One time I was in West L.A., to get a Starbucks coffee, which I don't even drink coffee. My friend, went there and I bought like $8 cup of coffee, which I just thought, wow, these people are really stupid. They're paying $8 for a cup of coffee.
Says the guy who just paid $8 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's perplexing.
Now, I just said I never drink coffee.
Right.
But my friend did. He sought out coffee that was like, I think he said the most he ever spent was like $1.50. Anyway, I'm old. People don't still have kids when you're middle age. Pavarotti had a kid, I think, when he was like 73. You know, so men are pretty gifted in that way. They can have kids when they're 99 years old. Anyway, I'm digressing, as I said I would.
Okay, let me stop.
But you right come there. Across.
So he has.
Okay, so then it ended. Oh, that was the end of that one. Okay.
Yeah, hung up on it, yeah. So he's just a scatterbrain, right? Like, everything he says reminds him of something else that he then also has to say. So it's a monologue that never ends. There's so many jumping off points in the through line.
Although, occasionally, he will get back to the West Hollywood Starbucks.
I need to know how he liked the coffee.
Right?
Does he get to that?
Occasionally, he'll call back.
Anyhow.
He calls back and starts with anyhow. Because the phone cut him off.
I'm continuing my commentary.
I see.
There's an actress. She's a very beautiful actress. I like her. Her name is, she's from South Africa. Charlize Theron, I believe. Just probably about the most gorgeous woman you ever encounter in your life.
Agreed.
And he's making sense.
Right?
Making perfect sense.
Right.
They were really, really beautiful women, but in this particular Arrested Development.
Okay, right there. Just in case you miss it, now he's pivoted to her in Arrested Development.
Okay.
Yeah, she was that British lady or something for half a season. But what's weird is that he brings up Charlize Theron as if it's his discovery.
Right.
Like, she hasn't been one of the most famous women in the world for the last 20 years.
Right.
And is an Academy Award winner. Like, we know who Charlize Theron is, but for whatever reason, she seems to be new to him.
She's an excellent actress.
Right.
Because she played a really beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I digress, as I said I would.
Right.
I met the Starbucks in West Hollywood.
Yes, oh, here we go. Back to Starbucks here we go. In West here Hollywood. We go. All right, an update.
I hadn't actually been to West Hollywood.
Nope.
And I've just lost a lot of weight.
Okay, so now we're already off the Starbucks in West Hollywood. Now we're talking about his weight problem.
About 3 months ago, I weighed about 255. As of today, I weigh 220.
Congratulations.
Now, I called a friend who's an idiot, who is probably a narcissist. Well, at the very least, I can hope that he's just a narcissist.
Right.
But I think he might be a sociopath.
Okay, so then
And
by the way, that's his friend.
Who's an idiot, narcissist, possibly sociopath.
Right, that's his friend. He describes his friend that way.
By the way, what a cliffhanger, though, to call on that.
Right? So then he...
I've got to know what happened.
So then he realizes that he got cut off, so he calls back immediately.
As I continue, now you think, boy, this guy's really droning on.
Right.
And if you have no patience, you know, that's not on me.
All right, so if you're bored by this,
that's on you.
Right,
yeah.
He's doing his part.
Sometimes you have to have patience.
Okay. Uh-huh.
People that are, like, younger, like young people that are even, you know, in their 20s, I think, wow, they're 20. They should know something. But they're really dumb people now. I didn't realize there was a guy who made a movie. I think it was, like, the guy who... Big King of the Hill, they made a movie, but it was about a guy who ends up in the future, and he's okay, and then I guess a hooker ends up in the future with him, and they're actually the smartest people in this place, and I think it's supposed to be United States, like 500 years in the future,
right.
And some people are just ignorant, and it's really not their fault.
Okay. Oh, man.
So is Idiocracy new to him again?
Idiocracy's new to him, but what about the sociopath?
Right? Yes.
And the coffee.
What?
And
how was the coffee in West Hollywood?
A lot of loose ends here, kids.
How do you lose 30 pounds?
Right?
Right?
I got like 15 more. I can bring in some more tomorrow if you want.
I don't hate it.
Okay, we'll do that. Play No Seas Alternative Rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Here's a text from Angela in the 323 referencing your new favorite person, Kevin. We were listening to the Afro calls from. She says, I get it. He's auditioning to be one of those people whose ramblings induce sleep. Remember we've talked about those videos, those ASMR videos that people make to try to help people go to sleep?
But those people whisper. They do stuff really soft, like...
Yeah, but this guy, he does drone on enough.
Right.
You can see dozing off while you're listening.
You think people fell asleep while listening?
I think that's a real fear that
no
we need to keep
usual.
No more than usual.
True.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 7.
Was that the big, was that the Grey's Anatomy song? Is that where that one came from, Allie?
I feel like it was, yeah.
Yeah, sounds very Grey's Anatomy. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. As Kevin mentioned, we're the show without the billboards, and we're also the show.
That's about to change, dude. We're about to get a billboard.
We do have an update coming up in a little while here on K-Rock. We're also the show that wants to send you to see 30 Seconds to Mars along with Walk the Moon in New York City, you guys. Check this out. 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll give away tickets to see both bands at the Forum in July, and you also qualify to see them at Madison Square Garden round trip, airfare, and hotel for a show in June as well. 9 o'clock this morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Allie, you want to introduce what we're doing here?
Yeah, I got hooked on looking at Craigslist ads a little while ago. The misconnections in particular. It could be anything from somebody driving down the street, you lock eyes, and you're like, I'd like to chat with that guy. I wonder if he'll see this. Then you put an ad in saying, we locked eyes, you, Subaru, that type of thing.
I usually find when you lock eyes with somebody in the car next to you, they speed up and turn their view away from you.
Yeah, maybe flip you off, something like that. But I love them, and I think you will, too.
Oh, yeah. And now it's time for Miss Connections with Allie McKay.
May I ask, though, in your years of lurking on Craigslist, misconnection ads, what is the percentage of men who are now having second thoughts and want to chase down a woman they saw on the street versus the other way around?
It's pretty equal. There's man for woman. There's woman for man. There's man for man.
No,
there's woman for
about,
woman.
You're talking about escorts now.
No, we're talking about misconnections.
Oh,
so
that's
there are,
where I've gone wrong.
There are women who will see a guy at a Dodger game that they like, and they will think, oh, I should have gone up and talked to him. Well, now I have a second chance. I'll put it up on Craigslist and hope he sees it.
Absolutely.
That's
I will read a couple of those, but I need to start with my favorite one that I told you about last time. But this will let you understand my psyche and why I now look for these. This comes courtesy of a gentleman in the bread section of a grocery store. You were the hot brunette with curves that farted in the bread aisle last night. I was the tall guy next to you that looked over and asked, was that you? You quickly replied, no, it wasn't me. You almost seemed insulted, I would ask. As the stink grew, you continued to deny your flatulence, but it was evident. I tried to get rid of the stench by waving two loaves of ciabatta bread. You proceeded to storm off in an angry manner. You're beautiful. And even though you're a liar and fart like a Clydesdale, I'd love to meet up for a drink sometime. So I read that and I was like, I am in. I will scour these.
That's awesome. Love story for the ages right
Absolutely.
There. I hope they got back together.
Absolutely.
Right?
Speaking of love stories, what about Juror 25 at the LAX courthouse?
Okay.
I was summoned to do my civic duty last week and was called to a courtroom where I saw you for the first time. You were the prosecuting DA. Tall, blonde, wore your suit well, and had wonderful oratory skills. For 4 days, I observed how you worked in a courtroom, and I was quite impressed, even as you were nursing a cough. I was looking forward to seeing you again today, but unfortunately, the case was settled out of court. So that's a woman, Bean.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, we had a discussion last time we did this feature about is it really a misconnection if you know where the person works?
Right.
But this is an attorney who probably travels courthouse to courthouse based on the case that he has.
100%.
So she can't automatically find him unless she knows his name.
Right.
That's a good one. I hope they get together, too.
Yeah. You will see this dude a lot in every city. This one's in the San Gabriel Valley. Huge pregnant beauty. To the beautiful pregnant woman who followed me into Walmart Saturday afternoon, I couldn't help but notice your big, beautiful round belly. Looks like you're about to pop. If interested, I'll totally rub down that belly with cocoa butter. He talks about Walmart, Target. I swear to God, he's just hanging out at the front, checking out pregnant ladies. It is concerning, but I respect it,
sir. How many pregnant ladies are looking for love?
Not many, I'm thinking. I think they have it covered.
Yeah. Or a random guy to rub cocoa butter on them.
Exactly. This one I appreciated because it's very specific. Woman for man in Hollywood. Nathan Fielder, if you're reading this, please contact me. My name is Ingrid. I can see from your television show you utilize Craigslist a lot. Please respond.
Wow. I mean, it might work.
It might work. Absolutely.
It's not going to work.
No. How about this one? I was on the metro listening to music. earbuds in, felt a little pressure, tried to sneak out a little relief, so I farted. I couldn't hear it, but from the look on everyone's faces, it was a good one. You smiled and held up a notebook like a scorecard with a 9.0 written on it. I was too shocked and embarrassed to respond. I hope they meet up.
That's awesome.
Do you have a fart alert on your Craigslist? What's going on?
That's awesome.
I might. This dude, I see this is the title, Lady and Judge Judy Audience. So I'm like, oh, he went to a taping and he saw someone he liked. Yet no, he's just watching her on TV taking screenshots of her. And he said, I need to know who this extremely adorable woman is. Every time she's on the show in the audience, she's all I can focus on. Although I couldn't get any screenshots of her smile, she is an amazing one. I hope she sees this and responds. You're just looking at a girl on TV in a background, sir.
That's baloney.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense.
All right. Well.
I'm sorry. I don't know why you hate love, Allie, but I also hope that one works.
Yeah. Okay.
What an amazing meet story that would be, right?
Yeah.
They got together?
Right. This one, this guy just reads like a big old walking actually. Good girl. Bad morning, WeHo. I saw you this morning leaving for work. You were arguing with your man friend. He really had you steaming. I pulled over and told you, whatever happened, let it go. Try to have a nice day. It took you a second, but then you looked at me and smiled. Glad I could help you in this moment. Open to talking about what had you so upset. And happy to share a man's perspective. That dude has feminist written in his Twitter bio. I know it. Happy to share a man. I think she knows the man's perspective. That's what made
her
so mad.
Angry at it already.
Oh, and finally, to the crazy lady at Safeway checkstand yelling about candied yams. I was in line at Safeway today. You were a few checkstands over screaming for someone to help you find candied yams. I don't even know what the hell they are, but I was definitely turned on. You, 50s, 60s, crazy as S. And apparently really likes yams. Maybe we can get together sometime and candify them. I'll bring the sugar.
I bet he will.
Wow.
I bet he will.
You're welcome.
I think that's how that ends. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Sarah Shahi, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
A one-woman party, isn't it?
Yes.
Wow. This last 3 minutes has been among the most entertaining 3 minutes I've ever spent. How are you, Sarah?
Oh, I'm so good. It is so good to be here again. I miss you guys.
Well, we miss you too, and we're very excited to have you back on our TV tonight.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be on your TV.
Now, did you have, how much time between jobs did you have? How much unemployed time did you have before you signed up for Reverie?
It was scary. It was really scary, guys. I didn't know if I was going to make it. I had, you know, after POI ended, person of interest. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work in LA, and unfortunately nothing shot in LA. So I took almost a 2-year hiatus and just waited for the right project. And
wow.
I did Ray Donovan. I did the show called Pitch on Fox for a little bit, mm-hmm. but like I made pennies and just waited for the right thing. And, you know, and the right thing came almost 2 years later.
And it's a perfect role for you. I feel like
it's a great. Are you saying I'm crazy?
Oh, what are you, absolutely.
What are you saying?
100%.
Kevin.
You weren't just waiting, though. You were also squeezing out 100 babies, right?
101.
Okay.
Yes. 101.
I mean, so it's not like you haven't been busy.
No, I was busy.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, yeah. Oh, my God, kids. Oh, God.
Let's not talk about them.
Truest thing a mom has ever seen.
You know what?
Kids are stupid.
Get me out of this house. I've got to go back to work.
Parents who act like they like their kids, they're not in there enough.
Really?
They're not in there. You have to have true disdain for your children. That's the sign of a good parent.
Amen. Amen.
You are insane.
I like it so much.
Right?
All right. So, Kevin, you were saying you thought this role was perfect for Sarah. How come?
I don't know. It just seems like it requires a lot of imagination.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And you also had talked about working with a green screen. Is that I feel like that would be really difficult.
You know what was interesting about that? Was you know, this was my first time working with a green screen. And when you have a script and you have the descriptions and you have a real set, like, the work is done for you.
Right.
All you have to do is play pretend. But mm-hmm. when there's a green screen, there's nothing there. So not only is it your imagination, which can be that much more heightened than the real thing, but you have to be so much more technical. Like, you know, the amount of conversations I would have with the with our CGI people and with the director and, you know, with everybody about, you know, when is that moment that the wind's going to be blowing through my hair?
Mm-hmm.
When is the butterfly going to go by? So I know exactly when to respond to it, you know, because I don't have the real thing. So I just found that with the green screen stuff, you know, you could say, oh, just let your imagination just run wild. Like, that's not...
Did they know who they were talking to?
What do you... Yes! And, but you just had to be that much more... technical at the mm-hmm. same time. You know, you had to be way more on top of it.
Well, the end result is gorgeous. The
oh,
show
I'm
is
so,
so
it.
Beautiful.
It, oh, thank you.
If explain to people that are listening what it is, this yeah. kind of alternate universe that you can basically upload all your memories, photos, and then yeah. jump into.
Yeah, so the show is kind of like Alice in Wonderland meets Inception.
Yeah.
I play this character who gets hired by this virtual reality company. And, you know, this is set like 2-3 years in the future. I mean, VR already exists.
Yeah.
You can, they already had a VR booth at Tribeca. Like, it's already out there, you know. And so you get, I get hired to work for this VR company where people go in, they get chipped, and they can create these alternate realities for themselves. It can be based on your memories. It can be something completely new.
So you're yeah. laying, so you're sitting in a chair and literally you're in another
world. You're in another world.
Yeah.
It's your mind. Your mind escapes to someplace else. Kind of like.
Good idea or bad idea, Sarah?
You know, I think it depends on the day, Bean.
I mean, the first show that airs tonight, it's a guy whose wife dies. So
yeah, right. And
so
he wants,
for him,
and
he wants to
go and be with his wife. He wants another night with his wife. You know, but the problem is these worlds are so real and they're so much, you know, they're so enjoyable that people are getting stuck and
yeah.
they don't want to come out. So basically, what happens on the real world is they're dying and their systems are failing because they're not coming out. They're spending you're supposed to be there for just a couple hours.
Right.
They're there for weeks, for months. They're, you know, having to be moved into our medical unit where we're, you know, feeding them ultravenously and they've got, you know, liquids going through them and whatever, all that hospital stuff. But like, whatever they do. And
I think it's intravenous.
Okay, whatever.
So
yeah,
you're
semantics.
Right.
Okay.
You're being sent in to basically help them out of
this. So what happens is I get chipped as well, and
uh-huh.
I, like the Leo DiCaprio in Inception, mm-hmm. I have to basically travel into their subconscious minds and figure out why they don't want to come out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I got the show, like, it was weird. I got the show right when my dad died, and he and I were not very close, and when he died, I started seeing him.
Is that right?
And I started seeing him, and I started talking to him, and I just became a believer that there was so much more to this world than what our eyes can see. And
you said you didn't get along with him. Did you then start to change your mind when he was gone?
Well, kind of, because, you know, the interesting thing that happened, and, like, my dad was, he was kind of abusive growing up, and my mom and I, we were in and out of shelters, so I resented him for a really long time. And then, you know, when he died, like, this interesting thing happened where I kind of forgave all the bad stuff, and I just remembered the good stuff, and I remembered his, like, big laugh. Like, my laugh is just like my dad's, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, and then I was, like, I said a prayer one night, and I was like, Dad, I was like, you know, I know you couldn't be a dad to me when you were down here, but maybe you can be a dad to me from up there. And I just started this relationship with him, and I noticed that I could just feel him, and I could feel his presence, and you know, I always get a little nervous before I do a job, you know, and I would ask him for help. I would ask him to give me confidence. I would ask him to give me some kind of guidance or direction, and then I would have a great day on set. And so when I got this set, or when I got this script, it was about, you know, this woman who was dealing with the loss of her sister and her niece.
Mm-hmm.
She was traveling back and forth between two worlds. She was exploring, you know, she had like an immeasurable amount of grief, you know, and I just felt like I just had so much to say, you know. Mm. And I also.
Someone put that script in front of you.
Yes, 100%, you know?
See, why when we talk about it, it's fine, but when I bring up otherworldly stuff, you guys tell me I'm crazy.
Because you're crazy.
All right.
Yeah, because you made us that way.
And that's men. Very possible.
Oh, men.
Very possible.
Oh, I'm done with you, men.
And the difference is we're nice because we want Sarah to come back.
Oh, yeah. Great point. Okay.
There's a big difference.
Understood.
There,
so. Understood.
So, yeah. So is some of seeing and feeling your dad around you, see if I can articulate
he's here
this.
Right now, guys. Say hi to Dad.
Hey,
hi, Dad!
All right, Sarah's gone bye-bye.
Is some of that, though, you trying to create kind of almost an alternate relationship with the one that you had with him in real life when he was here? In other words, you want to be closer to him, have a better relationship that you weren't able to have when he was still alive.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I absolutely, it's me trying to create that, you know, and I feel like, you know, look, I mean, I'm 38 years old. I'm a grown-ass woman. But there's a, when you grow up like missing a parent, I feel like there's a part of you that always wonders what it would be like if you had them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But he was aggressively bad.
He was bad. He was bad. But what if things were good?
Yeah.
You know, what would that have been like? And I think even though... Sorry.
No worries.
Sorry.
You've been in therapy for that stuff,
I've
right?
been in therapy for that stuff. So I just, you know, but I guess... You know, healing, I guess, is a process, and it's something that no matter how much I feel like I've healed certain parts of my life, like, I'm still in process.
Yeah, sure. And forgiveness, my God, right, just going through that is, it's never ending.
Yeah, it is never ending.
But that's lifting a heavy burden off of you. If you're happier now as a result of it, more power to you, Sarah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah.
Much more to say about the show. It debuts tonight on NBC?
NBC!
Correct. 10 o'clock. It's called Reverie. More with our favorite guest ever, Sarah Shahi, is here. We'll return right after this on K-Rock.
And Sarah Shahi is here. One of our favorite guests of all time.
Sarah, please write a book, first of all.
And
tell all the things you tell us off the air.
Okay.
Would you?
Yeah. Bean, you want to know what it's called?
Yes, I do.
And it got dumber.
Sarah's new show is called Reverie. It premieres tonight at 10 on NBC. She plays an unfortunately named character, Mara Kent. But
an unfortunately named character? Is that what you just said?
Yes, I don't know why it needs to be a Kent. I mean,
I don't think it really matters.
A Kent or a...
Yes, that's
right.
What I'm saying.
That's Bee's point.
Okay. My point
I see what
is
you're saying.
Why not avoid that?
I stopped myself, guys. It was good. It was good. This is a great
cast, too, by the way, I should mention, as if Sarah's not enough of a draw. You got the president from 24, Dennis Haysbert, is in there, right?
That's right.
You got Mohinder. Mohinder's in there, right? Sandeel from Heroes.
Oh, I was like, that's not his name, guys.
No, it's his name from Heroes. Bean feels like TV shows are real life, so that's how he introduces people.
He'll always be Mohinder to me, and I know he's done a lot of other good work since then. I mean, it really is, and I don't know Jessica Liu, but she's very good on your show as well.
She's excellent.
She's the creator of Reverie.
Yeah,
right?
She's the creator of Reverie. She's excellent. Then there's, you know, Catherine Morris, who has a lot of Cold Case fans. She was wonderful on that show. And, the cast together, we're like the United Colors of Benetton.
Yeah, I was wondering.
We represent, like, 18,000 continents and, you know.
White man can't be on your show, Sarah? What's up?
You know what, guys? You had a good run.
Right?
You had a good run.
She saves a white guy in the first episode because, let's be honest, they need to be saved.
Hey, yeah, they do. I'm a different girlfriend. Okay, sister.
By the way, the shots have been delivered. Dave did bring in some shots.
Yes, that's right. And like
she's
I said,
not pouring shots, by the way, just for
no,
the record.
This is a sipping cup she's pouring right now.
It is.
What are you talking about? This is Casamigos water, guys. Casamigos water. You guys are world famous. I don't disappoint.
Right.
Okay. No, you don't.
And, you know, I've got listeners, and this is my only other side gig besides acting is being on the show. When do I start getting paid, damn it, for this
Amen.
Segment?
Amen.
You guys have people that tune in just to listen to me drink tequila.
I mean, that is true.
It is true. Let me ask you a question about Reverie, because I'm watching it, and I was thinking to myself, I just want to stay in there, but you're saying their body is dying outside as they're being moved into a medical unit.
Right.
Why don't you make that part of the Reverie process where you can hook them up to all sorts of stuff so they could stay in for longer?
Because then we wouldn't have any drama, Ellie.
Oh, Allie's see, I'm thinking, acting like this is real.
Right.
Like, yeah. Real life.
She wants
You're
to
like,
go there.
I yes, do. I really there. Do. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I know. It's beautiful. And, you know, they did such a – that's another thing that Amblin does so well. Steven Spielberg.
Do you work with Steven Spielberg?
Yeah.
I'd like you to talk about him in a second.
I dropped that name, by the way, and sure. I'll be dropping it, like, all day long.
Well, you should.
They do such an incredible job. Like, you know, there's that great documentary on HBO, Spielberg, where they talk about, like, isn't like all of his movies. And he has such a spiritual theme, whether mm-hmm. it was Close Encounters, like E.T., like even 1941, like all of those movies, you know, had this, like, accidental spiritual theme. Not that he was going for it, but there's a spiritual side to him.
Just sort of who he is.
It's just sort of who he is and the themes that he, you know, sort of explores. And when he designs his worlds, like, you know, with E.T., you believe it because they're still grounded.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something that we did well is that, you know, like the guys, I remember when we were talking about the CGI of the show, it's not something that's, you know, 500 years in the future.
It doesn't look like CGI either.
It's now. Yeah. So we shot everything, you know, in real locations as much as we could. And then we just heighten the realities. You make it more contrasting, make it crisper, you know.
Yeah.
So it looks like these, it could actually happen.
Tell us about meeting Steven Spielberg.
I haven't. I'll let you know. I'll come back.
Is that right? You haven't.
But I will say this. Okay, so I got the phone call one day. The two execs from Amblin, Justin Falvey, Daryl Frank, like, amazing. I'm so happy. I was telling you, I'm so happy to be in business with these guys. Like, they're the real deal. They're amazing. They're talented. And they're good people. They called me, and they were like, Shahi! And I was like, what's going on, guys? And they're like, so... like, we talked to SS, and he wants to meet you.
And they call him SS?
SS. They're like, he wants to meet you. And I was like, wait, what? Huh? Who? Like, really? So I call my mom, and I'm like, Mom, Steven Spielberg wants to meet me. And she goes, honey, wear silver. And I'm like, silver? You want me to wear silver to meet Steven Spielberg? She's like, yes, Mom. She calls me Mom. He is the man of the future. I'm like, what?
Oh,
wear silver.
Oh, that's so I got to wear awesome. Silver, guys. I got to
yeah,
wear silver.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, these shots aren't drinking themselves, so get over here.
All right.
Let's
you got to help out here.
Pass these out. Pass these out.
And by the way, I'm thinking about Spielberg for a minute because I don't know how long ago AI was, but obviously he had an interest in virtual reality for a long time. Minority Report was another one that was very virtual reality. So this is something that he is, I mean, look, this guy sees the future anyway.
Yes.
It's so interesting that he is so involved in a show like this.
Yeah, it's great. You know, when we were shooting, he was shooting The Post. And, you know, but he wasn't able to be on set. And we shot on the Universal lot, by the way, which was heaven because, A, it's basically my backyard. And, B, like sneaking onto the lot and riding the Jurassic Park ride during lunch and coming back like
that's so weird
looking like a drowned rat and having my hair and makeup people like freak out over it.
Why would
and,
you
like,
do that?
It was awesome. It was the best. But it was what was I talking about? By the way, I haven't taken a sip of the tequila. I just want to point that out. Just want to point
I mean,
out.
Maybe you should.
I know, exactly. That'll maybe help that'll me help. Get my thoughts together.
It's possible,
yeah.
It's so awesome that you're having so much fun doing this job.
It's great.
So awesome.
And, you know, I really, like, when I, okay, just to get sentimental for another half a second, because, you know, I've had these, like, weird lifey things that happen to me, like I said, that really make me believe that there's more to what's going on than what we can see. When I was growing up, you know, my mom and I were in and out of those homes, they would have these certain shows that were on rotation. It was I Dream of Jeannie, The Munsters, Gomer Pyle, The Andy Griffith Show, and The Addams Family. And when I would watch those shows, it would take me out of my reality for a little bit. And my heart, I remember, became like really light. And I was no more than six. And I remember watching these shows and having this feeling. And I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, my God, like this feeling that I have right now where I feel like I've escaped. If I can give like another little girl that feeling, that's exactly what I want to do. And I felt like for the first time with this project, it kind of came back full circle, and I was meant to do it. Why are you making us cry?
Agreed.
I'm not. I here, bottoms up, guys.
That's all right. Amazing.
Enough.
I was.
Woo!
Oof. I was at Shahi 2020. Woo. That's where I was, man.
Amen.
Seriously.
Well, we were taking shots. You might have to calm that down if you're going to run
exactly,
for office.
Exactly. Although right. I did prepare this time. I had a ham sandwich before I came in.
The show is called Reverie. It premieres tonight. Before you go, Sarah, we have a feature we call 60 Seconds With. Kevin is going to rapid fire a bunch of questions. Just give him the first answer that comes to your mind. You ready to go?
Oh, God, yes.
60 Seconds With Sarah Shahi.
Okay.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to find out about you?
I love bananas.
What were you like in high school?
Stupid.
What's the most embarrassing TV show you enjoy?
Oh, God. RuPaul's Drag Race. Drag Queen.
Okay. What's the last thing you Googled?
Oh, my goodness.
It was porn, wasn't it?
Yeah, porn.
What movie do you rewatch every time you come across it?
Pretty Woman.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Yes. Over Silly Putty. She took my Silly Putty. I pulled her hair. I jumped on her back. Fifth grade. It was a timeout. It was the best thing ever. I got my Silly Putty back.
That's the most detailed answer we've ever gotten from that question. If you had to do karaoke, what song would you pick?
Fever.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Ew!
What fashion trend do you just not get?
Mustaches.
Ladies and gentlemen, there she is, the champion of all things. Sarah, we love you.
I love you guys.
See us again soon.
I will. After I meet Spielberg, I'll let you know how that goes.
Please do.
Yeah.
It's called Reverie. We've seen it. It's great. It's on tonight, Wednesday, NBC at 10 p.m.
I love you guys.
Love you too.
Yesterday after the show, I brought up a podcast that I have just recently been introduced to called the Sleep With Me podcast. And the shriek that came out of Ellie's mouth when I mentioned the shriek. Now, I couldn't talk to her about it yesterday because she refuses to speak with me unless she's being paid and we weren't on the air. So I had to save it for today.
It's true.
Why the visceral reaction when I mentioned the Sleep With Me podcast?
So I have bouts of insomnia. And I was having a real bad few weeks. And a friend of mine said, hey, I listened to this podcast and it really does calm me down. It's just maybe it's something that'll work for you. But warning, other friends I've introduced this to have not talked to me again. I'm like, what could be so bad about this podcast? And then I listened to it and I had the exact opposite of wanting to sleep. I wanted to murder this guy.
You wanted to murder him.
Yes.
Like I said, I didn't know about it until recently, and I had the same reaction to him. Is I wanted to find out where he lives. His name is Drew Ackerman. He goes by Scooter on the podcast. And he is 500 episodes in on the Sleep With Me podcast. And what's remarkable to me about it is that I don't know how long it is. It looks like it's probably about an hour and a half. I don't know. No one's ever gotten to the end of it. I assume you either go to sleep or you drive yourself crazy listening to it. But it's an hour and a half, 500 episodes worth of him just telling the most boring, rambling stories you've ever heard in your life in a way that to me, and maybe it's just because we do this job and we're used to having to be on point as much as we try to anyway. And, you know, we're very limited patience with callers that don't get to the point. And this guy, the whole intention of this podcast is to ramble.
Yeah.
He's trying to get you to not be interested in what he's saying, and he's very successful at that.
Yes, very little inflection to the voice, just very droning, makes you want to maybe stab yourself in the face.
Yes, I'm glad we're giving these disclaimers because I'm about to play some of Scooter's podcast here, and I want to make sure, you know, you're wide awake. You got that coffee, you got the window down, whatever you need to do to make sure no one falls asleep behind the wheel. But apparently there's big business in these sorts of podcasts. His is the only one that is essentially for adults, bedtime stories, I guess is what you might call it. There's a bunch of them for kids. People have used a peaceful noise playlist is one thing that's called, where they just put together like soothing sounds. There's also white noise podcasts that some people find helpful to try to go to sleep to. And then there's that whole category of the ASMR. We've talked about those before. Those are the whisper people that basically
can't
fall asleep.
No.
So there's those too. But this is the only guy doing what he does. And it was so hard for me to pull a clip because, you know, usually you go to something for audio and you're, well, what's the most interesting part? There's none of it that's interesting.
Oh, man.
So let's enjoy. He's talking about what he's going to be doing on the podcast. And he's talking about, in this particular episode, he's talking about an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and something that a doctor said on the show. And it just gets him to just ramble about that. Let's hear a little bit of Scooter.
moment. Unbelievable episode with Dr. Crusher. And during the day, you probably want to watch it at some point. Tonight, you know, tonight you say, well, it was a little bit like a delusion in a dream. No, no, is there a fissure? This podcast, I don't know if there needs to be a physical, measurable something to it. Yeah, but this, you know, phenomenon.
Are you already out?
You know, cause you can you measure delusion? Because if you could, I probably, I don't have a lot of world records. In fact, I have zero. But if you were measuring, you say, what's the world record for a stack of delusion within one's brain? Okay, you see, hey, this does happen when I call Guinness, you know, the world record hotline.
What?
Well, luckily, someone rerouted it to someone that I pay. It's still 1-900. Is it still a 1-900 number? It's still getting billed for this 1-900 Guinness World Records.
And it's just, oh, it's so stream of consciousness that every time he thinks of something that takes him off into another direction,
right,
rather than do what the natural impulse as a human is to try to get your audience to remain interested,
right,
you avoid that and stay on the road, right? This guy just goes off in every possible direction, and it doesn't matter how long it takes because, again, the whole point of the podcast is to make you fall asleep.
Right.
But I had the same reaction you did, Allie, which is I just wanted to stab him.
Or myself. I just wanted anything to end. I wasn't sure what.
I insist we hear some more, though.
Yeah, but I call up and I say, okay, how about number of synapses involved in a delusion? I think I got that one. They say, well, how many? I say, all my synapses. How many synapses does a human brain have? They say, sir, we're not sure. You know what you are? You sure that you have synapses in your brain? I said, well, I don't know. They're all occupied, you know, maintaining my delusions.
Does he have a speech impediment, or what's going on there? Where it seems like he's like kind of stutter step a little bit.
I think there's many different accents at play. Like sometimes there's a Minnesota, sometimes like an upstate New York, and then it all interweaves.
He's very mysterious.
Yeah, he is.
How does he have enough to talk about every day to sit down and do 90 minutes of this, though, by himself?
I feel like maybe he's not interacting a lot with humans other than this.
This could be it for him.
He saves it all up.
That's very possible.
And then I heard the pencils, and I said, why is your pencil moving? And they said, well, because you said, at first you called about one delusion, and then you said delusion, so... And they said, well, who qualifies then? And they said, who's that person you consider your nemesis?
I'm telling you, we start a rival Sleep With Me podcast and Beer Mug hosts it.
That's a great idea.
I think we get a piece of this business.
Sure.
Look, we've all had conversations with Beer Mug where we feel exactly like we feel when we listen to this dude, right?
Absolutely.
It's time to do it. All right. We'll be right back. Give away those tickets next on K-Rock. Well, listen, Mike, I'm glad you're here because you can help me with this dilemma that I'm having, too. First question, do you ever tell your significant other about your dreams?
Yes.
Yeah.
How about you, Kevin?
It depends on the dream.
Are you responsible if your dream includes bad behavior or good behavior with somebody who is not your significant other?
Are you responsible for it?
Yes. In other words,
no.
Yeah, no way.
Is she allowed to be mad at you about something that you dream?
See, this is why you have to pick and choose what dreams you tell.
Yeah, you don't tell her, oh, I was boning this chick
right
last night. Woo, what
she
a dream.
She was so much better than you.
No one needs to hear that.
Okay.
I have a feeling that's what you did.
I don't know. I mean, because I get it. I'm on the receiving end of that sometimes.
Sure.
So I feel like it's in your brain. You can't really control it. I mean, I dream about doing horrible things that aren't sexual. It doesn't. It's not like it reflects.
It doesn't mean you're actually doing that.
Right. It doesn't reflect what I really want to do in real life.
Why do you ask? I can see some partners considering it sleep cheating, though. You know what I mean?
There's no such thing as sleep cheating.
You're just making that up.
I'm not making
it up.
There are people who actually will get mad. Look, yeah. My wife has been mad at me for things that I have said in my sleep. Things that when I have spoken out loud while sleeping,
yeah,
she's been mad
you
at
said,
me.
Oh, yeah, Veronica, yeah. Of course she's angry.
The but only, again, the only
but
sleep
that's
cheating
part of the
is
dream,
sleepwalking
though.
Into another woman's room and banging her. That's sleep cheating.
All right. So that's your ruling on the marital bed.
Yes.
Now, here's the real question. How about if you have a sex dream about somebody you work with?
Did you have another dream about me, Bean?
How about that? Is that something you keep to yourself, or is it, hey, it's obvious we have a 100% completely platonic relationship.
Please, Chip.
And the reason I ask this question is, we live in an era now where even a conversation about something sexual... about something sexual now can be perceived as sexual harassment. How many of these guys in the news have we seen part of the complaint is, he was always talking about porn or showing me pictures on his phone or whatever it was. These days, you even talk about sex sometimes and you get in trouble with a coworker.
Please tell me I was on top.
So what's the ruling on, like, is it inappropriate to say to a coworker in your office, hey, I know this is crazy, but we were rabbits last night.
That's inappropriate.
Yes.
And that's me talking.
What's inappropriate?
It's inappropriate.
I don't think it's inappropriate to say,
for anyone else,
it was crazy. You were in my dream last night. To get descriptive about what that is, I do think that might cross some line.
Leave it at you were in my dream last night.
Allie's speaking out of fear, though.
God.
So wait. So, Allie, if somebody, Mike, has a sex dream about you,
yeah,
would you be offended if he told you about it?
If he said, I had a dream about you? Absolutely not.
No, a sex dream. If he said, I had a sex dream, you and me, last night, would that offend you? Is that inappropriate workplace conversation?
First of all, you're asking me, who's not offended by anything.
Right.
So I'm not the one to ask, first of all.
Is there a difference between Mike and Bean?
Absolutely. If Mike says it, I'm going to ask for some details. If Bean says it, I am taking my earphones out and I am having a Silkwood freaking shower.
So I guess you guys will never know then.
Now we need to know.
Well, the advice I was just giving.
Wait.
That was for you personally. This is your radio show, so we need to know.
It's Omar, isn't it?
And the advice you were just given was for off air.
Right.
I think the game has changed when you're talking about,
correct,
you know, what you do for a living really skews the scale.
All right, so it has to be Chip, Allie, or Christine, right?
Does it?
I guess. Why?
It doesn't have to be.
I'll be, I mean, I hate to, you know, just volunteer this up, but I've had gay sex dreams.
Okay. Bean? Mm-hmm.
And look, you're not, again,
guy or girl.
You're not in control of your dreams.
We're giving you that. You are correct.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But you guys have just told me that it is inappropriate in the workplace to say to somebody, hey, I had a sex dream about you last night.
That's because you're saying it to them one-on-one, and it's all weird. We're on the air. This is a safe zone, Bean. No one will judge.
But that person may or may not still be listening, though. And let me also say this. Is it worth it to, if it is in some way is going to affect the relationship going forward? Like, this person may now think differently about me, or now may not want to hang out with me or whatever because I've
had a sex dream. This person already doesn't want to hang out with you. Guy or girl?
I don't think I should say
guy or
guys.
Girl.
I feel like I
should. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Bean. If you don't say, we all feel gross. Just let one of us feel gross.
Yeah, I can't say.
Yes, you can.
I can't say.
Yes, you can.
Bean, go ahead.
Don't be such a big tease.
Go ahead.
I'm not
Chip.
Being a tease. This is, why I, spent, this is why I spent all the time to ask first.
All right,
was because I didn't want to do the wrong thing.
Chip, Allie, Christine, me, Dave, Mike, Dave, Omar.
Ruben.
Was it Omar?
I have bad news, Chip. I'm really, really sorry to tell you. I know. I am sorry.
I apologize. Wait, how was it?
I mean,
was it awesome?
It was awesome, first of all. But Chip, if it makes you feel any better, you were only receiving, not giving.
This is the
everybody.
Best day of my life. I'm not lying.
Hey!
That's her from Bean's Dream.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Nice kids in the Lumineers, by the way. It's always fun when we have them come by the show. Hey, Jersey Shore recap on the way with DJ Omar Khan, a brand new internet roundup as well, and Dr. Drew on the program later on this morning. First, though, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
America's most penis-shaped state has been on fire this year. It's really extraordinary, even for Florida, the number of stories that are coming out of there, including this one that many listeners sent me. I love that when people see a story like this, they think of me. A Florida man called the sheriff's office on Tuesday after growing suspicion that the meth he was smoking was the wrong drug. A 49-year-old Hawthorne, Florida resident named Douglas Peter Kelly experienced a violent reaction to narcotics that he had purchased a week earlier. He wanted members from the Putnam County Sheriff's Department to test the substance. Why do you suppose, Allie? So he could press charges against the drug dealer for selling him the incorrect drug.
Sure. Wow.
Drug. Look, I know that you're on meth, okay? Mm-hmm. But how does it not occur to you that you don't really want to invite the police into your operation where you're buying illegal drugs? Like, how do you not think of that?
What was the first sentence you said?
Florida man.
A Florida man who's on meth.
Yes, exactly.
Good night.
Drug unit detectives invited Mr. Kelly to the office so they could conduct a quality test. He drove to the office to show them the clear substance wrapped in aluminum foil. It tested positive as methamphetamine. He was then arrested and is in jail. By the way, the sheriff's office then took to Facebook to extend the same drug testing assistance to all other citizens. Public notice. If you believe you were sold bad drugs, we are offering a free service to test them for you. Remember, our detectives are always ready to assist anyone who believes they were misled in their illegal drug purchase. The police officers just have to be going, this is a pretty easy day today.
Yeah, we're going to take an early lunch.
Right, exactly. Here's a story that will make members of the NRA happy. In Jacksonville, Florida, police say a man tried to carjack two people and was thwarted after both potential victims pulled out guns to protect themselves. This is 36-year-old Christopher Raymond Hill. He's been charged with strong-arm robbery, a carjacking with a firearm or deadly weapon, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and trespassing. He tried to rob a liquor store, and his car, his silver Ford SUV, wouldn't start. So he thought, I got to get out of here. He's got money. So he tries to carjack Scott Reardon at knife point, and he cuts him on his arms and his legs. Mr. Reardon reached in his glove box and pulled out a gun and brandished it. The attempted carjacker was like, don't shoot me. I'm like, get out of here. He said, look, this is the interview with Scott Reardon afterwards. He says, people can talk about banning guns, but when it comes and happens to them, they're going to wish they had one. All right, so he leaves and runs over to the Starbucks and tries to carjack a woman who's in the drive-thru line at the Starbucks. She jumps out of the car. He gets in. She then pulls a pistol out of her purse points it at him until he gets out. So ultimately, he was found inside the bathroom of a Supercuts where he surrendered. But, I guess this, thank God this didn't end up into being some sort of a shootout or something, right? Which is always the fear when you have too many guns.
Right.
But in this case, he tried to carjack the wrong people. Pasco County Sheriff's deputies have arrested a man accused of breaking into a mobile home in Newport Richey. He was naked and started to assault one of the residents. I love this story I love this story so much, by the way, because this naked man enters into, and I'm sure he was on some sort of drugs too. He enters into a mobile home. Then he picks up a rake and a fight ensues with the naked man hitting the homeowner in the face and in the back with a rake. The fight tumbles outside, and the homeowner then picks up a hammer and starts striking the naked intruder with a hammer.
Oh, wow.
This has everything.
It really does.
This is a case where I'm glad nobody had guns. What's better than a rake versus a hammer fight? He was arrested, did not get away with it. All right, here's one. This is interesting in What's Up with Florida. This is actually from a Reddit group. This is not a news story, but this is somebody who posted on Reddit. And I want to get your opinion on this, Allie. Mm-hmm. So I live in a house in a South Florida suburb where the streets are wide enough to allow street parking legally for guests, as most houses only have a small driveway to fit a couple of cars tops. It's never been an issue in the 3 years I've lived here, but lately my neighbor has gotten really obsessed about people driving up on his lawn and scuffing his grass when they park, and this week he decided to do something about it. His grass goes all the way to the street. When people turn into park, they sometimes drive maybe a foot onto the grass if they're careless. I've always told my guests to park away from his house because I know how angry he gets. I don't want the hassle. However, the said neighbor has now placed several rebar posts with the tops sharpened to tips right at the edge of his grass. and they're low enough and that they're hard to spot if you're driving by or unfamiliar with the street. So in other words, if somebody gets a portion of their tire onto his lawn, mm-hmm. he has spikes in his grass that will pop those tires. This is what he's doing. I asked my neighbor about it when I was walking the dog, and he said that if people are going to be dicks and drive on his lawn, they deserve to get their tires punctured. I assume that this is no way legal, but what can I do about it? Is it something I should call the city about, or a police matter, or what? Does that seem like, I mean, I feel like he could put up a fence, might be a little safer way to do it.
Oh, for sure. And is it illegal if it's his property?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
But it also seems like, especially if the grass goes all the way to the street and somebody could be walking a dog that could jump up on there and get
right.
hurt, or a kid could fall off a bike or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And if somebody trespasses on your property by 6 inches, do you have a right to do hundreds of dollars of damage to their car with a spike? I don't know what the answer is to this, but that is a curious
aggressive response.
Yeah,
real aggressive.
It does seem a little bit aggressive. So I'll keep my eyes open and see what happens with that. But I just thought that was a bizarre story. So don't do any of the things that the people in Florida do, and that way you won't end up on What's in Florida, right? Whatever it's called.
Florida.
I didn't imagine that it was real, but apparently it is, Kevin.
I'm not positive that it's real either, but I want it to be so badly.
I want it to be real too,
yeah.
And I know that you have no – this is true. You have no control over what turns you on.
Right.
You just don't. It's just baked into you based on your life.
I wasn't trying
to make a pun. But apparently there are people who are turned on by, I mean, was that your impression that bread face, the whole phenomena,
yes.
is people are sexually turned on by watching a woman smash her face into loaves of bread?
Yes.
That's their thing.
She has an Instagram account. Mm-hmm. Allie, you said it's verified.
It's verified.
Mm-hmm.
People love it.
And people send her money and ask, hey, how about some rye this weekend? Hey, why don't you pull out some wheat?
Some challah.
So she puts the bread on the table and she just smashes her face
in it.
That's the whole thing.
That's it. Yeah, she doesn't get undressed. She doesn't do anything with the bread except for smash your face into it. It's called bread facing. And apparently the YouTube channel Super Deluxe interviewed her. And Kevin, you saw this video. Why? I mean, is it in the clip why she prefers to remain anonymous?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
First, she explains in painful detail what it is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, listen for sexual innuendo, because I feel like every other word, there's something. Here she is. She's explaining what it is in painful detail.
So the process of bread facing is, number one, I go buy bread.
I mean, really? Come on now. Really? I mean, don't we assume she has bread?
Well, she's starting from the beginning here, Kevin.
All right.
Number two, I bring home the bread.
Okay.
Well, did she pay for it?
She left it out.
I don't know.
You're right.
That's a good point.
And then number three, I put my face in bread.
That's it. So that's her explanation of how it works.
And by the way, Allie, just to go back to your point, paper or plastic to get it home?
Great question, Bean. We need more info.
So how did she get started, and how did it turn into this social juggernaut?
Anytime I buy bread or find a very soft bread, I always touch it to my face. I just decided to film it on a whim. Of course, I didn't expect it to blow up. I was actually, like, begging my friends to follow me, and they were like, get the f*** out of here.
She could not get anyone to follow her. Her friends said, get the F out of here. Those are her friends.
Why did she choose to put it on her face in the first place? Just because it felt soft?
Every time she got bread, she put it up to her face, mm-hmm. I guess, to see what it feels, the texture.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's just attracted somehow to the texture.
I don't know, because I bought a lot of bread, and it's never occurred to me, you know what? I should maybe I should just put my face on it.
You haven't found the right bread. Change things.
Does she have favorites?
My favorites are sponge cake. Croissants are always nice. Tortillas are just very cooling on my face.
Right.
I love the ones that fall apart or like stick to my face. The party sub was just awful. It was just too big.
I mean,
well, one tiny Asian can't take on a whole party sub.
I mean, seriously, how did she even pick a party sub? That's not just bread, that's everything.
Right.
All right. Now she's talking about, and I'm not making this up, she's talking about what she wears while smashing her face into the bread.
I used to just wear whatever I had on, and then over time I kind of like approach it like a date. I do kind of want to look good for the bread, and I...
She
okay.
said,
Come on.
Okay. All right.
She said,
"Bread-faced ladies, gone bye-bye."
She said,
"I do kind of want to look good for the bread, and I want to set the mood. Sometimes you have to go in really hard, and you get hurt, and then you know sometimes they're soft, but then a little too soft. Other times it's just like a wild card. You just make a huge mess and." You feel a little gross after, but all in all, you had a pretty good time.
She dresses up for the bread.
Sure.
Yes, she does. Did everyone hear that?
I can't wrap my head around it.
It sounds
she dresses
like it,
up for the bread.
It sounds like it
she
has to be
up
no dress up for the bread. We understand, yes, but it sounds
Come on.
Like it has to.
You're
be
You're still talking.
I know.
Well, for God's sakes, let it sink in.
No, I got it.
She dresses up
for the bread, right?
For
she
the
approaches
bread.
It like a date. I heard that. I understood that.
Man, you're just talking a lot. Just let it sink in.
It sounds like this must be some sort of a parody of sexual fetish videos, but I don't think it is. I think she's sincere. I think it's real.
All right, here's the answer to your question about why she tries to keep her identity private.
I think the reason why I don't want to reveal that much about me is because I think the magic would kind of be gone. I'm very much like a normal person.
Sure.
I have a 9-to-5. This is like probably the only quirk about me, I guess.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't think
so. I doubt that. I don't think that's the case. So she does get feedback on social media where people request certain types of bread.
No.
And they ask her, what does she think that the people are doing?
Oh, no.
While watching her smash her face into bread.
A few people emailed me and told me that they to the videos. A girl actually told me she to it, and I was like, I don't know, cool. I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's disgusting, but I don't kink shame, and I think this is like a very harmless thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, she's got a point. It is harmless.
All right, let's not kink shame then.
So now they go to the owner of her bakery to get his thoughts.
And it's the owner pusher.
And the owner of the bakery is a straight up 100% douchebag.
Oh.
Listen to how he talks about it.
It strikes me more than anything as Duchampian, if I may. Bread goes back a long, long, long way. Even what I think of as the fabulousness, the cool fabulousness of Breadface and that blog and what she's doing, I don't know that it moves the meter on where bread fits into the history of civilization. I really don't.
He wants to know where bread fits into the history of civilization.
What? I hate him!
And a final message from Breadface.
I would say that I guess that dreams really do come true.
Right?
Good takeaway.
So
good takeaway.
You understand why Bean and I both want this to be true?
I would say that I guess that dreams really do come true.
Right. And that's I Am Breadface.
I think I'm in love.
Same.
Metallica and Lady Gaga together? I'm really excited about that. A lot of the performances I'm looking forward to. Lumineers are in town. They're doing a show at the Grammy Museum tonight. It's a private party. K-Rock is throwing. You can't buy tickets, but you can win your way in, and we've got your chance to do that later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And when you win that, you also qualify for the grand prize drawing we'll do by the end of today's show to send you to Cape Town in South Africa. Get all the details at K-Rock.com.
If I could recap quickly for you the Zero Club and how that came about. I usually run out of really, really low on gas before I fill back up. So I took a picture of my thing saying one distance to empty, 1 mile. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, distance to empty, 0 miles, and set new personal record. And then Beans started making fun of me. And then everybody started calling saying, hey, I do that, I do that, I do that. And the Zero Club was born.
Yeah. I found out that there are more people who do it your way than do it the right way.
Right.
Which is shocking.
Which is shocking because my way is the wrong way.
But you literally started a movement, Kevin.
I sort of just accidentally stumbled onto something everybody else was already doing.
And you were very clear. I have to give Kevin a lot of credit. It's not like Kevin is saying it's the way to go. You almost immediately hashtagged it. That's no way to live
a life. This is no way to live your life.
Right. But people still do it.
Yes. And it's still in my timeline of Twitter. I still have every third one is a picture of somebody's dashboard.
And sometimes they're doing it like on the road to Vegas, where right. if they do run out of gas, it's 40 miles to find the next gas.
Or it's pouring rain. I'm like, duh, well, you're making terrible decisions.
They got their kids in the car. Like, what are you doing?
So we got a an Afro call that I would like to play for you now.
Oh, all right.
From Nicole, who works here at K-Rock with us.
Hi, guys. This is Miss Nicole Alvarez. So, you know that Zero Club, that Zero Mile Club thing that you guys have going? Well, I am a proud member, but now when I have no gas, instead of stopping to get gas, I'm like, oh, look, I'm part of the Zero Mile Club. So on the way home from work, my car started putt-putting. Hmm. I am now sitting on the side of Santa Monica and Hudson, completely and totally dead with no gas. And my dilemma is, do I call a Lyft and go to a gas station and buy a gas tank and then come back? Do I call AAA and waste that? Or do I wake one of you a-holes up and make you come get me because this is all your freaking fault?
Fail. Epic fail.
By the way, part of the Zero Club is not running out of gas.
So
Nicole?
Nicole.
You ran out of gas, and then you decided you were going to blame it on us.
Well, here's what's even sicker, is that before I called for help, I called the Afro line.
Well, I mean, you did the right thing there.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I don't know that we want you in the Zero Club if you can't manage the fuel in your tank.
Well, no. So here, it started like 10 years ago at an Incubus show at the Greek. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I ever ran out of gas.
Right.
And I was in that stacked parking, but I talked about it on the air, and Incubus sent me a gas tank the week after, like just a, you know, like a
wow.
can, sorry,
wow.
A gas can. And then like a year ago, I lend my husband my car to go to work.
Well, that's a mistake already.
On the way, he ran out of gas and he left my car in an alley, and I had to take an Uber to my car at like 6 in the morning, and I watched the sunrise as I was waiting for AAA.
Good.
And then it happened again, and it's happened like 6 times, really.
Yeah. You know, yeah. We're not the run out of gas club.
That's right.
You know that, right? The idea is that you can go, it's exhilarating because it says 0
yeah.
miles
You're
to empty.
You're living on the edge.
You're living on the edge,
yeah.
But you can still go further, but how far, you don't know, but don't run out.
Yeah, it's the difference between a high and overdosing. You got to know your limits, Nicole.
Here's the thing. I swear my gas gauge must be broken.
Sure.
Because it has to be.
Like they all are.
Well, it should make it more exhilarating because you're always just pushing it. Like, I don't know where I am. But, Nicole, I feel like Kevin has kicked you out of the club.
I mean, yeah. It's not the running out of gas club.
Yeah.
Especially somebody who's run out of gas 6 times, by the way.
That's worse than me.
I feel like that's really unfair for you to kick me out of the club, considering that I ran out of gas this last time specifically because of you.
Okay, but again,
if
you were really a card-carrying, proud member of Kevin's Zero Club,
right.
What you would have done is gone, all right, I've gotten as far as I can go. Now I have to buy gas so I'm not a loser and run out.
You're a winner if you're in the Zero Club.
Right.
But then you lose if you're
less than Zero Club.
There's no less than Zero Club.
Okay, so do you want me to try harder? Can you just let me stay in for the time being?
I mean,
and I promise never to do it again.
She just get a strike?
She's on
possible?
Probation.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
What we got to do.
Probation.
By the way, Nicole, seriously, yeah. I think it's a bigger problem that you've run out of gas 6 times in the last 2 years or whatever.
Because I thought I was the worst, and I'm pretty sure I've run out of gas maybe only 4 or 5 times.
Okay,
I mean,
can I ask you, hold on, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why do you push it? Is it because you don't like stopping to put gas because it's tedious, because you don't want to spend the money? Like, I'm curious as to why we're in the club to begin with.
Well, I'll tell you why for myself. It's because I'm always running late. So now I've got enough gas to go 32 miles, and it's 29 miles to work. So I'm like, all right, I got nothing. You know, I don't have time to stop.
You're,
so
you're pushing the problem down the road, is what
you're
doing.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
You have to buy gas, but at least you don't have to buy it now.
That's why I do. So then I started realizing, oh, it's I have 24 miles left, and it's 29 miles to my house.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you can make it. Who knew? You can make it on zero, and that's the 0 mile club, but not the run out of gas club.
Yeah. Oh, see, I do because I just don't feel like putting gas.
You just don't feel like it.
Yeah.
I think that's working out. Keep doing what you're doing, Nicole. Hey, so the verdict here is, and by the way, lovely Nicole Alvarez, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Kevin Beach Show, weeknight 6 to 10 right here on KROQ. The verdict is that you can still be in the Zero Club, but you are on probation. Do not let this happen again, young lady.
Okay, I promise I'll try harder.
All right. You're the best. Good luck.
Bye.
All right, so I'd just like to take the temperature of the room. Mm-hmm. Allie, you're interested in this next story?
Not at all. Okay. I hate it so much. It's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Chip?
I know you're going to hate it, so I love it.
You know I'm going to hate it.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't know what it is, but Bean loves it.
Well, I know you're going to hate it, so I love it, too, actually. Although I am intrigued by it. Look. This is not for me, okay? In fact, it's not for you. It's not for anyone I know. But it is for this guy. So before we get into the story...
I'm just wondering, maybe this isn't a suitable subject for the children.
I mean, I think that's...
Parental discretion is advised.
Now, I have to warn you, some of this footage that you're about to see is clearly inappropriate for young viewers.
Okay. Due to mature subject matter, viewer discretion is advised.
All right, did we handle it?
If you have little children and you allow them to listen to the following conversation, you are a bad parent.
It's not a really
bad parent. You are seriously f***ed up. You with your illegitimate kids and your bad judgment and whatnot.
It's not just kids. This is awful across the board.
Okay, awful across the board.
Oh,
wow, I'm excited. What is it?
Here's the headline from Vice.com. This guy served his friends tacos made from his own amputated leg.
Oh, no.
He's hungry.
I know you want to judge, Kevin, but let me tell you the story.
I feel like it doesn't matter what the story is. I can judge.
Okay, but what if I tell you that this wasn't one of these awful things where somebody, like, kills the rabbit and serves it to the family and they don't know they're eating their pet?
He served him his leg!
And they all knew about it in advance and signed off on it and voluntarily ate his leg. Let me tell you the story. He's on Reddit. His name is Shiny on Reddit, okay? He was involved in a terrible motorcycle accident. A car ran into him, careened into a ditch. His foot was shattered to the point that he would never walk on it again. When the doctor asked if he wanted to amputate, his one question was, can I keep it? The doctor said yes. Now, here's the only point in the story where
hold on.
I'm having the same thought you did, which is they never let you walk out of there with your kidney or with your finger
or
whatever it is.
Not buying it.
But he said the reason he was able to do it is because there is a religious exception. Hospitals have policies where they will release your body parts to you because of a religious exception where you have to be buried whole. So I signed the paperwork, and they gave it to me. They gave me my foot in a red plastic bio-waste bag. I brought it out to the car, and I immediately put it in a cooler. Yeah, it was pretty bizarre. And by the way, he has photographs of this every step of the way.
Don't need photographs of any of it.
I got back to my place and I froze it. I couldn't find a taxidermist who would take me seriously. Freeze drying was too expensive. He goes on and on and on in this Reddit post about all the things he was thinking about. He was thinking about casting it in plaster and using it as a doorstop. He was thinking about lots of... So he said, when I got back to my house, I took the foot out and it was pretty gross. It was covered in blood. But after I cleaned it off, I was pleasantly surprised.
Come on. We didn't need that kind of detail.
I was pleasantly surprised by how well preserved it was. I had four friends with me at the time and it was so surreal. They picked it up and they were playing with it. It didn't seem like a foot. It just seemed like an object, not a piece of a person. There was no emotional connection I could think about at all. That was the weirdest part.
No, sir.
He and his friends apparently had a conversation about if they could ethically eat human meat. In other words...
Why? No one has that conversation for real, though. Allie, don't leave.
Come on.
This is an important conversation for society.
They wanted to know, they had this conversation, if they could ethically eat human meat if they would. And they agreed that they would. They would, just for the story, they would like to try it.
Not if they... For their example, it wasn't if they had to, if they were, a plane went down and, you know, they had to eat something, like they were forced to eat.
Right. That's
just
not
for fun.
Just to see what it would be like.
No.
And by the way, it is not illegal. It turns out only in one state in America is cannibalism illegal, and that is Idaho, where you simply eat human flesh that lands you in prison. Everywhere else, though, cannibalism, they don't explicitly make it illegal because there's already laws about murder, about buying and selling human meat, about cutting up a corpse, things like that. So it's legal.
So he invited 11 friends over, and 10 said yes. The invitation said, remember how we always talked about if we ever had the chance to eat human meat, would you do it? Well, I'm calling you on this. We're doing this or what? 10 said yes, and they showed up, and they prepared it.
Bean?
Yeah.
I have a note here from Dave that says, Allie is legit dry heaving.
Oh, Allie, come on. I have a friend who's a chef. I told him my idea after thinking about it for a couple days, and he said, okay, let's do this. I'm going to prepare it. Let's get everybody together tomorrow night. I marinated it overnight. We sauteed it with onions and peppers, salt and pepper and lime juice. Then we served it on corn tortillas with tomatillo sauce.
Nope.
He has the full recipe. How did it taste, you're wondering, Kevin?
I'm not at all.
This particular cut was super beefy. It had a very pronounced beefy flavor to it. The muscle I cut was tough and chewy. It tasted good, but the experience wasn't the best.
It wasn't the best thing they ever tasted?
He's asked in an interview, you also wrote that this mail helped give you closure on the accident. He said, it sucked the whole time. I remember flying through the air. I remember getting hit. I remember sitting in the forest, taking off my helmet, feeling the burning pain. I looked down. My foot was hanging off.
And I thought, one day we'll eat that.
And bangled. So he said, this was kind of a nice way to put that chapter behind him and to share an experience with his friends. It was a pivotal transition time.
No.
And they don't regret it, by the way. So... apparently, everybody was happy with this decision.
He and all his friends. Not one of his friends was grossed out by that.
One friend spit it back into a napkin after eating and said he didn't want to. He tried it. He didn't want to eat anymore.
So apparently, not everyone was happy. You're a liar?
Well, he's
a lying liar who lies.
He spit into a napkin, but the other ones had, came back for more tacos. Look, what did I say at the beginning?
It's a horrible story.
This isn't for me.
Right.
It's not for you.
Right.
It's probably not for anyone we know.
Allie left 5 minutes ago.
But it's a thing that happened.
Right.
We're getting some great reaction from our listeners.
I bet we are.
I am gagging. This story is so awful.
Yeah, let's...
this is the worst thing ever.
Let's wrap this up.
I wouldn't try it, and I've had some weird meats. I, too, am legit heaving. Please end this topic.
Agreed.
So it sounds like you want to hear more. Okay, so this guy...
I don't feel like that's what it sounds like.
Mission accomplished.
Nope.
But it's time to play Bean Mix's Guess.
Bean Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Mix's Guess.
Yes.
All right, I teased earlier that I thought this was going to be the easiest Bean Makes This Guess ever, and here's why. Because you guys know by heart all of the things that can possibly be in this category.
Oh, don't tell us that, because then you set it up, and now we're idiots if we can't think of it.
No, literally, you know all of the answers to this one. There's not going to be any that are a surprise to you. It's just a question of whether you get them in the right order or not. Emory University, which is in a business school in Atlanta, recently decided to figure out who has the best and worst fans in the NFL. Who has the best fans in the NFL? Now, they used a bunch of criteria for this. They did adjust for market size. Obviously, there's more fans in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, those big cities, than there are in the smaller markets. So they adjusted for market size, but they looked at three factors. All right. One is fan equity, how much fans spend on their team at the ticket office, buying memorabilia, regalia, things like that. Social equity, how passionate are fans in following their lines, their teams on social media, for instance. And road equity, how well do these teams draw on the road? And I know you've got a bunch of teams that are just blasting into your head right now that are just the mega teams of the NFL, the ones that always draw the big fans and always draw the TV ratings. But let's see how many in the top 10 you can get. Who has the best fans in the NFL, according to this very scientific-sounding survey?
All right.
Kevin, we give you the opportunity, as always, to go first. Who do you think has the best fans in the league?
The Houston Oilers.
Why are you not
Houston
even trying?
Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers.
Not even a team. It hasn't been for years, Kevin.
What?
It hasn't been for years.
That's absurd.
Allie McKay is not up next. Beer Mug is up next. Bugs, who has the best fans in the NFL?
I have to say, since they're they own half the team, the Green Bay Packer fans.
The Green Bay Packers are number 9, believe it or not. Number 9, but that's a great point, is they are a fan-owned NFL team. All right, Allie McKay, you're up.
Dallas Cowboys.
Number 1, yes. Cowboys are the best fans, which is, I hate all Cowboys fans.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's hard for me to get my wrap my head around that, mm-hmm. but sure. okay. Because they're just bad people.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, you're up.
I would say Miami Dolphins.
No, I'm sorry. Kevin, they are number 14.
They're number 14? They're ahead of anyone?
They should be much lower. Wow. They should be much lower.
They earned it.
All right, Beer Bug.
When all those diehard Buffalo fans brave those games out there, I got to say Bills fans.
I got to say the Bills are 18th on this list. 18th. I don't get that feeling about the Bills. Yeah, they do have some hardcore fans, but I think they also have a lot of fair weather fans. I don't think they're a stick with through anything like some teams are. All right, Allie, you're up.
Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers are number 5 on the list. Kevin?
I am going to say, as much as it hurts me, Seattle.
Seattle, believe it or not,
what?
17th.
Ha! You know why? Why didn't they hand the ball off?
You think that's what did it?
Great point.
I mean, someone who lived in Seattle for a lot of years, I couldn't believe how rabid the fans of that team were.
But you said this also takes into account traveling and stuff like that, so maybe they're not as strong there.
And social media and merchandise and the whole deal. Yeah, I was really surprised by that. All right, this is turning into be a little tougher than I thought it would be. Beer Bug, you're up next.
As much as we love to hate them, the Raider Nation.
You know what? I would have expected the Raiders, too. That's all we see in Southern California, it seems like. 21st.
Can we refer to Muggs now as Marge Simpson from now on?
A little bit. Yeah, Raiders not representing as high as I thought they would. They don't know how to use social media either. That could be part of it. All right, Allie, you're up next.
If we're going like fan spending, social media, and travel, as much as we hate them, Pats fans.
Yeah, the Patriots are number 2.
Yeah.
Number 2 on the list.
Do we need the score?
Yes. What is the score?
Kevin has none. Muggs has none. I have 3.
I had 1, by the way.
You did?
Muggs did have 1.
Well, if we're doing top 20, I think, but I think Allie's the only one that got top 10.
I thought we were doing top 10.
I think
we are. Top 10.
And I got a number 9, whatever number 9 was.
Packers.
Thank
you. Muggs did have the Packers.
My bad, Muggs.
Yes.
My bad.
Thank you.
Sorry, Wolfman.
She is a Pats fan, tried to cheat. Look at this.
Look at that.
Look at that.
I'm also taping him in the other room.
All right, so it's 3-1 Allie right now. I think you're up now, Kevin.
The Toronto Rough Riders.
Why are you even in this game?
Are they on the list? No,
they're not on the list.
Shoot.
All right, Muggs, your final guess, please.
Let's go Eagles.
Number 3, Philadelphia Eagles fans. Bring it. Yes.
Allie also McKay. In the top 5 for most annoying.
That's true, too. Yeah. Allie, you have already won the game, but just for fun, let's see if you can get another one.
Well, I'm debating between 2.
All right.
It's either the Broncos or the Vikings, so I'll go Broncos.
Number 8. Well done in the top 10. All right, here's your top 10. 49ers at number 10.
Okay.
Packers at 9. Broncos. And this one was a surprise to me. It's a small market. The Saints. New Orleans Saints at number 7.
That is a big surprise.
Yeah.
Bears.
No way.
Bears. Then Steelers.
Sure.
Giants.
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 And they've been trying desperately to get rid of their fan base.
They're doing everything they can. And their quarterback, for that matter.
Right?
Then Eagles, Patriots, and Cowboys. In case you're wondering, by the way, the Chargers came in at 27th, so they got a lot of work to do. They had quite the upheaval a couple years ago,
sure.
Moving markets, too. And then the Rams are at 31st.
Wow, how's that?
Again, they also switched cities within the last
few years. Sure, that makes sense.
So it definitely makes sense. And dead last, by the way, is the Titans. They have the worst fan base in all of the NFL. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
I don't know anything about pedicures. I'll just say it. I've never had a manicure. I've never had a pedicure.
Oh, I think you'd love it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't really like people touching me at all.
You get over it once you see how great your feet look. And seriously, they feel so much better in shoes once you have a pedicure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be true? I know this sounds like a dumb question. Would that be true for men as well?
Absolutely.
Because we don't wear the same kind of shoes in a lot of...
Yeah, well, you're getting rid of all that dead skin and then a lot of calluses, all of that.
But I don't feel like I have a lot of dead skin.
You do.
You do. You do. You have a ton.
Just in general, anybody does, just if they walk around?
Yeah.
My wife talked me into getting one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Recently, and I mean, they brought out Sanders. It was rough. They were
you
drilling.
Got a Lanny Petty?
They were drilling. Just Petty. Yeah, both. Yeah,
you got both.
Yeah. Nice.
And did it?
And
feel...
I looked just precious.
How did you feel, Kevin, when you were paying a lady, I assume?
It was
lady,
weird as hell. I could just,
yeah. To play with your feet.
It was weird as hell. Because most people hate feet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Weird as hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think it would be. And did you feel like $1 million when you walked out of there?
I mean.
Just slip your nice feet into your slippers and go about your day.
Maybe. Maybe that's what I did.
Was it the type of thing that was so life-changing for you that you said, I'm going to start doing this on a regular basis?
No, but I liked it.
Well, then why won't you go back?
Well, I mean, I probably would if my wife said, hey, let's go do this.
But it's not something you'd like enough to do on your own.
On my own. I don't do anything that's good for me. It's just my general rule.
Good point.
And, Allie, how about you? Do you get, cranky if it's been too long and you haven't had a mani-pedi like my wife does, where she's freaking out if she can't go?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the regimen.
King of Mexico weighs in. I really like mani-pedis. Feels so fresh and so clean.
Well, the reason I bring all of this up is there is a story in the news out of a suburb of Memphis, Tennessee. What's it cost for a manicure, Allie? What is it, about $25?
At a cheaper place, sure.
This place has a sign on the wall that says, sorry, but if you are overweight, pedicures will be $45 due to service fees for pedicurists. Somebody snapped a photo of it.
What?
And this reporter goes to the nail salon to find out what's up. Because that seems like quite an increase in the regular cost of the pedicure, right? $45.
Yeah, that's
outrageous.
I feel like any increase is absurd.
For people who are overweight.
Right.
Yes, that's crazy.
And I saw the headline and I thought, well, I don't understand feet or feet, right? Whether you're a big girl, little girl, I don't understand what the difference would be in the feet, you know?
Right.
It can't be that much. It's not that much of a bigger surface area, but let's find out what's going on.
It's this picture of a sign sparking discussion on Facebook saying, sorry, but if you are overweight, pedicures will be $45 due to service fees for pedicurists. Since it was posted Saturday, it's been shared more than 500 times, with women across the city weighing in, many expressing shock.
See, she's weighing in. Women across the city are weighing in.
I don't think that was on purpose, by the way. I think that she was just referring to a lot of people leaving messages of surprise. Mm.
The woman who snapped it said it was at Rose Nails at Fraser Boulevard in Overton.
By the way, I will tell you that I can watch no news story without hoping it's going to be a success.
Absolutely.
Now that we've been spoiled by that reporter.
Right?
We went there today.
Hello. How are you doing?
We met Sun Nguyen. We showed him the picture.
Some people will reach out to us.
Yeah, some people, the customer.
Nguyen repeatedly denied the sign was ever up in his business.
By the way, I love this guy so much, and you'll find out why.
He denied that sign ever existed?
Yes, he denied, and she's got photographic proof of it in his salon, but we do live in an era now of alternative facts.
Sure.
Where you don't really have to worry that there's proof to dispute what it is you're saying. You just stick to your story, and what can people do, right?
And we didn't see one today. But Nguyen said he's considered one.
Did you at one point have that sign up?
No. I told you, I said, I'm thinking, but I don't put it up.
I was thinking about it,
yeah.
But I didn't put the sign up.
That's, by the way, when you're lying, that's such a yes. I mean, that's the worst lie ever. You know what? I thought about it, but didn't.
Yeah.
And why would you bring that up? She didn't ask if he thought about it. She just asked if he had the sign.
Because he's lying.
Yes,
because he's lying and he's lying poorly.
Right, exactly. Just say no.
Right.
Don't go, but I could have.
Right.
Sure thought
I was
about
just
it.
About, I was like seconds away, but then I stopped myself.
Yeah, because it would be wrong.
I mean, come on.
I also showed him another picture that was posted in the salon. You can see the sign and the same flooring, same chairs, and the same walls.
Huh. All right, let's see if he can get out of this one. All right.
So this isn't your business?
Let me see.
Because it looks like the same floor and the same...
No, I don't think so, man.
So this isn't your business?
No,
even
it's not,
though the floor and the chairs.
Sometimes the floor, so many floors, I don't know.
He showed
so
me his prices.
I mean,
there's a lot of floors. Honestly, there's a lot of floors. A
ton of floors.
And that's tough to argue.
Absolutely. So much win with this guy.
He said the only extra charge is $5 for men for a pedicure.
Extra $5 for men. Why do you suppose that is, you guys?
Because that's a lot more work. Because they don't get them regularly.
Because they don't come to the salon as often.
Boom!
Nice.
Well done.
Thank you. Nguyen said instead of putting a sign up, he's decided to just not service someone if they are severely overweight.
Okay.
That's even worse.
Not winning anymore.
Right? Wait a minute.
No, I'm not charging them more. I'm just denying them service.
Refusing.
What?
This did go south so fast, right? Now, why do you guys suppose he doesn't want to serve overweight customers? There is an answer coming in the news report. I didn't see it coming.
You didn't see it coming. I mean,
why do you think?
So it's not that there's more surface or whatever you said earlier.
Maybe it has to do with the chairs they use.
With the chairs they use. All right, let's see.
I don't know.
He said it's difficult for technicians, and he's had broken chairs in the past, which hurts his bottom line.
Broken chairs, Allie.
Allie is on it today.
Guys, I'm going to head home.
It's going to be hard to go anywhere from here.
How much money did that cost?
Oh, about, I believe about $2,500.
$2,000 for one of his chairs,
yeah.
By the way.
Uh-huh.
If it is one of the chairs with the jetted tub, I could see that.
But do we believe him?
I don't. No.
Nope. Not no.
So no pedicures for the big ladies, apparently, if you're in Memphis, Tennessee. So there you go. That guy is he's fantastic, though, isn't he?
He is the best.
Guy runs that place. Just keep doing what you're doing.